The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
This is PFW in Progress.
It's a Mega Bowl. What's not to understand? This is history in the making. You're going to want to tell your grandkids and their grandkids and their grandkids. And when they look back in the annals of history, they're going to be talking about three things: discovery of fire, invention of the submarine, and Mega Bowl.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I mean, you can just think of me as Bambi's mother. I make sure nothing bad happened to you.
Bambi's mother got shot, right?
Yeah, first scene.
I remember that. The credits were still rolling and everything.
Paul Perillo.
The crowd is really excited tonight.
They know what's at stake, Dick.
Yep.
Now I'm talking about free corn dogs.
Oh, that's right. It's free corn dog night.
And Andy. And Andy?
Here they come, the Flint Tropics Ball Girls cheerleading squad, keeping the crowd energized through the timeout.
We just got such big...
What?
Hearts.
Yes.
Big, bouncy, jiggly hearts.
Well, hearts don't really bounce, so now I think you're talking about something else.
Andy Hart.
But I like breasts.
Eric Scalavino.
It's a great question. Tomorrow... after the game, I will wrestle a bear.
You're not going to want to miss this, folks. And if you're a small child, you creep into your mama's bedroom at night and you lift about 40 bucks out of your mom's purse.
For now, anyway.
Stewie's insane. He can rip my head off.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Second down and 10 for the Jets at their own 40. One lone running back, and that's Joe McKnight behind Mark Sanchez. Second down and 10. Sanchez is back to throw. He is going to be hit and sacked. Back at the 29-yard line, and a fumble on the play. Patriots recover. The game is over.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium, and not sure we're basking in the glow of a Patriots overtime win against the Jets, but I'll take it. But, you know, we got some issues on this team, and we escape this time. And I'm hoping, here's my hope. Okay, and I wrote this. I'm hoping that the Patriots bottomed out. It looked like, once again, they were going to blow a fourth-quarter lead, this time 10 points, and this time to the Jets, which would have made it that much more intolerable. And somehow, they escaped, and they got it done. Not only did they get it done, they had two drives in the clutch where they got field goals that they absolutely needed. Steven Guskowski got two field goals that they absolutely needed in the clutch. And in the clutch at the end, when it looked like the Jets were at least ready to tie it up, the defense made a play and won the game, or finished the game, for the Patriots. So those are things that we've been waiting for that hasn't happened. They happen. Is this now the sign of better things to come? Have the Patriots bottomed out and are now ready to go the other way? I don't know. We'll see. That's what I'm hoping for. We'll talk about it today. Andy Hart's here. Paul's here. Eric? Is he? No? No?
I
figured with the London trip, he might be here getting things ready. And no?
Probably. Well, he is here.
He is here, but I've heard him tell everybody I'm not really here, so I don't know.
Oh, okay. Maybe
I didn't hear him say that.
Maybe he's out at Patriot Place shopping for a new outfit.
Well, he did tell me.
A new waffle.
He did tell me on Sunday that he was planning on coming in on Tuesday. Okay. Because there was access today. There's not normal. We should probably explain it. There's not normally access on Tuesday, but I think because of the London week there.
There wasn't access today, actually, either, in the open locker room. Yeah. Until 11:59, when every player came out of every door. It was amazing.
No.
There were no, like, four or five players throughout the whole thing, and mostly the practice squad. And all of a sudden, it's 11:58, and the weight room door, the training room door, the equipment room door, the lunchroom door, players just start coming in the locker room.
Don't tell me that's not staged.
It's and then Stacey James, media, like, all right, guys, that's
right,
it.
Guys.
Like, it's laughable.
Yeah. So even if you wanted to try to get a quick question or two in at 11:59, you couldn't.
Are they mad at the media for any reason? I mean,
No.
Well,
who's they?
What they do all the time.
The team.
No. Bill Belichick just doesn't want him talking to the media.
Yeah, and I don't even necessarily.
No, but,
yeah,
but
I don't even think he's mad at anybody.
No.
I just think this is.
Well,
what
I think
does.
He hates the media in general for the last 35 years.
Well, yeah, no, yeah. Listen, inclusive.
Locker room access has always been sporadic. Sometimes it's pretty good. Sometimes it's terrible. But it seems lately that guys have been appearing just at the end.
But this is also a different week with a different schedule where they kind of rush to get on the plane Thursday and kind of have the hay in the barn.
I don't know why we have to take a red eye, but go ahead.
Is that a personal fight?
Yeah, I just think, why are we, you know, putting
what
the
would
players
you do?
Through that?
What would you do?
I would probably, you know, like he did, make them come in on Tuesday and practice. And then use a travel, have a travel day, whether that's Thursday or Friday, have a travel day where you leave early in the morning and you know it's devoted to travel, so that there's no red eye stuff. And I don't know, these players, they're going to be literally asked to sleep on the plane, and they go right into press conferences at 9 in the morning mm-hmm. on Friday morning. How is that good for the body?
Are they going to practice before that?
On Thursday, yeah.
Before the press conferences, I'm saying.
No.
Because didn't we do that last time?
They get into London in the morning and get to the hotel, like the Super Bowl, and go right into...
Yeah. It's not practice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But right. they then have...
I don't know. I don't have the itinerary.
They then have Friday and Saturday to adjust. I mean, you have two full days.
But they're going to have a walkthrough, I think.
Yeah, but you still have two full days to sleep, to not sleep, to walk around, to not walk around.
I guess. I just...
I mean, I think the ideal thing is what the Rams are doing. Go there for the week. Practice there
all week.
Well,
they're the host team, so I think...
No, I know, but to me, that would probably be the ideal thing. But I actually thought it worked out pretty well last time. I thought I would... You know, for me personally, I felt adjusted by the game time.
I just remember I had to sleep for a couple hours when I got off the plane, and then I got it back up.
Yeah, we weren't able to do that because we had to go to practice.
Right.
Right.
But that's why I was asking, are they going to practice? We got there, I want to say like 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning in the hotel. We put our bags down and maybe had a half hour, and then we had to be on a bus to go to practice.
Yeah, we got there earlier last time in the hotel. It was, like Paul said, like 7. This time they're not getting to the hotel till 9 in the morning.
Okay. But I didn't feel a problem, like, and I know I didn't play.
Well,
but by Sunday I felt
that. Yeah.
No, but Sunday I felt normal.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
when I woke up Sunday and went to the game, it felt like a normal day, and I didn't feel dragging. I didn't.
Yeah.
So I think it's fine.
Okay.
I mean, you're clearly irritated by it, but
I just, whenever I see red eye, it's like no one sleeps on these red eyes or sleeps well on these red eyes.
Well, I think
I don't think I slept at all on the flight over there.
Yeah, I don't think I did either.
Watch a few movies.
Yeah. All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. I know you guys have your thoughts on the game. Why don't you give them to us?
Well, I actually really liked your edit letter, and I'm not mocking you in any way. You could argue that they tried to lose the game in all three phases again by making mistakes on offense, defense, and special teams, and then you can argue that shortly thereafter they made key plays in all three phases to win the football game. And it's like you said, a pessimist probably says, well, you can ignore those plays, but they screwed up a lot.
Right.
But I think an optimist says maybe we did bottom up. Maybe that's the Brian Cox, the overrated – you know, focal point, what you'll look at later and say that's where they kind of bottomed out and that's where they started making plays.
Yeah.
So that's one aspect of it. I really liked that. You know, Paul and I for Take Tuesday wrote about the importance of the Stephen Hill drop when he had a chance there to A, take more time off the clock with just a first down and then maybe they kick the field goal, or B, that may end up a touchdown.
Right.
And then the game could end because they take a 27-23 lead and it's all over. So, you know, I think that's an interesting aspect of it. But I thought there were some of those on both sides, plays made, not made.
Certainly.
I thought it was 500 football teams playing. I thought it was kind of middling.
My takeaway is I'm sort of starting to second guess myself now. And I'm kind of writing this as my commentary this week. I think this is what we're in for. I'm not saying every game is going to get down to the last play, but I don't think that it's safe anymore to just sit there and say Patriots are going to win this game by 30 points. You know, and that's what I kind of thought going into the Jets game. I thought this game was going to be well in hand, obviously long before. And it really never was well in hand. Even with a 10-point lead,
right,
it wasn't well in hand ever. I mean, even the way you got the 10-point lead was...
And why do you feel that way?
I just... think there's something missing with this team right now, and we know the defense is lacking. The secondary play has been subpar. 6 more 20 plus yard pass plays this week, but offensively they're not as dynamic and as diverse as I thought they were going to be. I think a big part of that is the health of the two tight ends. I think those guys have been good but not great, not dynamic the way they were last year. I think part of that is health. And for whatever reason, you want to say the offensive line's state has left, you know, periodic worries in Brady's mind with the pressure. I thought he moved around pretty well this week, I thought, in the pocket to buy some extra time. But the offense, to me, is not as automatic. You said to me something during the game, Andy, following the Jets' touchdown to make it 23-20, about 5 minutes left maybe, something like that in the fourth quarter. And you looked at me and you said, does Mesko come back on the field? And I said, absolutely. I never would have said that
three weeks ago.
Well,
yeah, because Brady threw the ball to the wrong team.
I'm with you, Paul. I'm torn.
I never would have said that 3 weeks ago, that Mesko would have to come back on the field. I did not have any faith that the offense was going to melt that clock away.
I'm torn where I find some comfort in them doing things that we said they're not doing that, and that's why they're having trouble. They actually did those things at the end, finally. However, I'm with Paul. No longer am I saying, I don't care who the opponent is, oh, they should win comfortably.
Right.
You know, forget about 30-point leads.
But you know what I mean. I'm assuming
every game's a dogfight from here on in until further notice.
Like, we're talking about games that are going to be played on Patriots terms. Like, they're going to dictate the way the game is played.
Comfortable.
And even if you don't win by a lot of points, but you had the game all the way, I no longer think that's the case.
Right.
I no longer think that will be the case.
I'm still optimistic about their chances for the playoffs. Absolutely.
Certainly.
I think this is a league where anybody, you know, can win, no problem, and I think we've got the talent to go all the way. Absolutely.
Yeah, you can lose to anybody now,
but you can also beat anybody. Right, exactly.
And that has not changed. So that part of the equation, I agree with you, Fred. The AFC is still sort of a muck of teams that are all around the same. I think Houston might be a little bit better than the others.
They have balance.
And Baltimore is certainly, with their injury problems on defense, is going to have to figure out other ways now. And I think they will, by the way. I think that's a good enough team to overcome that. But I certainly don't fear anybody in the AFC, but I also don't dismiss anybody in the AFC anymore either. That's where my mindset has changed.
Now, do you put any stock, Fred? Obviously, there's a game this weekend that's losable. As you just said, they all are. But, you know, this sort of has the formula. Another team that has a pretty good defense that can cover and rush the passer, an okay offense, but they hit big plays. So this has the makings of another dogfight, certainly. But do you look at the bye and say, maybe it is what Paul said, maybe the tight ends are banged up, and maybe coming out of the bye they get healthier, and that is the spark they need over the second half of the season?
Well, health is a big issue, but I think also the issue is execution, and I'm not sure the bye helps that, you know?
You know, you do have those extra week of practices that become training camp practices where you can choose to work on anything you want. You're not game planning. You're working on, you know, deep plays. You're working on execution on offense, 4 minute, whatever it is. So you do have that possibility to.
No, it is possible. And it comes right at the middle, you know, right after eight games.
Perfect.
So, you know, that is absolutely possible.
And if you hit it at 5-3.
Yeah.
Okay, and, you know, you don't feel great about it, but I'm 5-3.
And, you know, the Patriots did lose that home game to Arizona, so it's not all about road games, but 7 of their last 10 games, including preseason, have been on the road. So that means going forward, it's a favorable schedule for home. So there are a lot of optimistic things to look at after the bye, but, you know, they've just got to get more consistent. I think they have I'm talking offense here. They absolutely have the talent to beat any team. There's just no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's play calling or health of the offensive line or health of the tight ends, they just got to get it together.
Do they lack it? And I know people always, oh, what is it? That's
no, I know
stupid.
That's a cliche, but that's kind of how.
But they had
it
last
year. That's kind of what I'm talking about.
I said it to you on the Gronkowski catch early, where he kind of split. There was like a safety in a corner that hit him downfield, the right sideline, and maybe at like the 20-yard line. And he kind of stumbled through him, but fell, was tackled. And I said, that play right there is the difference between this year and last year. That play right there, he somehow keeps his feet, and it turns into a long touchdown, and you're just saying, wow, Rob Gronkowski is like the robot. And I don't think it's anything to do with injury, really. I don't think it's just... It's not perfect. It didn't unfold perfectly for him on that play. And I think you get that after a great year. When you had 1,400 yards and 17 touchdowns, you're due sometimes to just go down, to just get tackled by the guy who's there.
I mean, if I'm an opposing defense, my goal is to stop the tight ends and Welker. That means the running game has to produce, and whoever is that other wide receiver.
Well, it's Lloyd.
And Lloyd...
His 8 million targets, it's Lloyd.
Right, but he's turning into just a guy who catches a 10-yard pass and hits the ground. And
it wasn't even that the
wasn't
other
even
day.
it
was a little screen pass.
Yes.
Yeah, so, other than that, he would have been shut out.
You know, so that one thing that we said, that's going to be an improvement, hasn't been.
And part of that is, I mean, he dropped a bomb. That was a drop. That hit him perfectly in the hands. You know, Josh McDaniels is right. Those are low-percentage plays. They're not always going to – but that was a high-percentage play on a low-percentage play because when you hit him in the hands – that percentage goes way up. He should catch it.
When you have the step and it hits you in the hands, you have to catch it.
And I thought the criticism, there was a lot of criticism of Josh, I thought, on Monday about, I think it was 1-for-8 Was it 8 targets for Lloyd?
Yeah, 8 targets, one catch on a screen.
And a lot of those were down the field. And they were saying, you know, his insistence on trying to get the ball downfield to Brandon Lloyd. Well, I thought they were there. I thought some of those plays. Now, Cromartie did a nice job on some of them and made some of the plays difficult. But, like, the one, he had, like, a deep in cut that he went to his, you know, he went sliding down. The ball hit him in his upper chest, his torso.
Right.
And there's no need to drop it. And Fred, you made the comment. He even had his legs under him, which theoretically should have helped him catch the ball. Didn't catch it. The one Andy just talked about, deep, right in his hands, didn't catch it. Well, these are plays that should be made. And if they are, do you look at it differently?
Well,
now, I would.
Now he's 3 or 4 catches for 75, 80 yards, whatever. And
I think it's hard to make, you know, Randy Moss in that infamous game in the Meadowlands in 09, they tried to go deep with him, and he was blanketed every time.
Right.
The ball was getting deflected by multiple jets. That you could say, well, the play's not there. Why are we trying to get the ball deep? These plays, some of them, not all of them, but like the one late really wasn't there. The one right before...
on the Patriots sideline?
Yeah, well, we tried, you know, the game-tying field goal. Right before that, we tried one more deep ball to Lloyd. It was incomplete. Then he dumped one off to Woodhead for like 7 yards or something and kicked the field goal. That was the only one that I said, oh, that just wasn't there. That was a bad one.
The older New York, New Jersey fans who listen to us will know the Mets used to have a guy that played right field sometimes called Ron Swoboda. Who made the easy ones look hard and the hard ones look impossible. And that's what I'm getting the feeling with incredible athlete. I mean, the catches he makes are just, you know, out of this world. But I'm not sure that he's, you know, always judging the ball in the air so that he doesn't have to make it that, you know, impossible.
And save for the fact that he knows where to leave the huddle. He goes to the right direction and lines up.
Right, right.
It's not all that different than, I mean, I think if you had thrown all these screens to Ocho Cinco, he would have had more catches for more yards. It doesn't mean he would have been better and more of a productive aspect of the offense.
And if you remember back at the beginning, that's what we were talking about. And I thought they made a concerted effort to get the ball in his hands to avoid being in the situation that you're in right now where you targeted him 8 times and he had one catch on a screen. If that had happened, you know, say, the last 2 weeks, he's been very quiet. If those had happened in week 1 and week 2, that's a story.
Right.
The Brandon Lloyd story is permeating Foxborough, the locker room, and you know questions are being asked to Tom. You know, how come it's not clicking? But it happened in week 6 and 7, after he caught a bunch of passes early in the year, and I think they did that on purpose to make sure that what does he have, like 30 catches?
Yeah, 35, I think.
Yeah.
Somewhere they wanted to make sure that number. You know, before he had any kind of slump, he had some numbers to fall back on that Chad never did. And I'm not saying that he's been as bad as Chad, because he wasn't. Like you said, he's lining up where he's supposed to. He's not committing penalties and all that stuff. So it's not been as bad as it was with Chad.
Now, going back to what Andy said about do they have it? I mean, that was the theme sort of from a lot of people. Kerry Byrne from Cold Hard Facts, Greg Bedard.
Cold Hard Facts.
Football.
He does work with us.
Yeah.
Now,
like. Mental toughness was the thing. They're having trouble closing it out. And that's one of the things that I do find comfort. That twice, you know, when they had to, Brady was able to engineer drives that resulted in field goals. Twice, Steven Gostkowski, who had a monkey on his back, let's face it, hit, you know, 40-plus yard field goals. At Gillette, and the wind, by the way, was a factor a little bit.
Yep,
there was gusts up to 20 miles an hour. Hit 2 field goals, and once the defense, well, actually twice, because the defense, you know, stopped them, kept them to a field goal after the
fumble,
McCourty fumble, mm-hmm. and then, of course, ended the game with the strip sack at the end. So those are things that we said they're not doing that they actually did. So now, you know, now we go forward.
I agree with you on the defense. The offense, I'd like to have seen a touchdown somewhere. Like, to me, driving to 48-yard field goals doesn't make you really feel like, whew, we did our job.
And I especially felt like
good
that.
Good luck, Steve.
I especially felt like that in overtime. The one at the end of the game, listen, it's 1:37 left, one timeout. You got a 43-yard field goal. That's acceptable.
I know, but I still feel like when they're at their best, 137 is an eternity.
You got to play the percentage in that because you were so lucky to be in that position.
The one that I didn't really think a whole lot of the overtime drive. I thought that they had they tried to run the ball a couple times for nothing and put themselves in long yardage situations. I'm not going to say it was a bad call because they never showed a replay, but they did have a third down play that they got a pass interference on that was called by a guy about as far away from the play as you and I were.
Yeah, that was, and it was pretty, I don't know.
And there was a guy right there.
It took the flag that long to
get
there.
Oh, no. There was a guy right there who didn't think it was a penalty. That's what, right. what kind of raised my eyebrows. Not that I think it was a bad call, because like I said, I really never got a good look at it. They never showed a replay. So, like Andy said, you know, they had a 50-yard drive. You know, that's not anything to necessarily say, well, we got it fixed.
Especially
now,
for them.
Gostowski? Two huge kicks. Those are legit two huge kicks.
But that's
kicks.
All about expectation. Now, like, you wanted Gostowski to prove he could do it. If this had been Andrew Luck that drove 50 yards to the game-winning field goal, I'd say, well, that's a good step in his progression as a quarterback. But it's not. It's Tom Brady.
All right.
It's Rob Gronkowski. I have a higher standard for them, and I'd like to see a touchdown.
How much credit do we give to the fact that, hey, the Jets' defense, even without Revis, is pretty good. They know us really well. Rex Ryan is a good coach. How much credit do we give them?
Well, the last two things I give him a lot of credit for. I think Ryan is a very good coach. And Bill talked a lot about the game plan aspect last week of what Ryan does. He does what Bill does. He doesn't just do what he does and you've got to beat us. He changes things. And I think that he's come up with some periodic wrinkles. I don't know what they are. I'm not smart enough to know every single thing that he does. And the second thing is I thought they did play well. I thought Kyle Wilson, was very competitive in that game. And I didn't really think that much of him going into the game.
Should have drafted him.
They're not a very good defense this year, though. I mean, they allow 150 yards on the ground, and we really didn't get anything going on the ground.
But they know us. And I think
that's
Ryan,
what I said. The 2 and 3, the fact that they know us and the fact that Ryan does a good job of coaching, I put it. But they're not a very good defense this year without, you know, with all those guys missing in terms of – I would have thought that this was a big run day for the Patriots, and they never really got it going. They had a couple, I think Vereen had a 14-yarder and a 12-yarder,
early.
I think Ridley had a 12-yarder somewhere.
Yep.
But for the most part, there was a lot of 1 and 2-yard runs, and that's not going to get it done.
Bill Belichick said two things yesterday on EEI, one that I agree with, one that I disagree with.
I can't wait to hear this.
The one that I disagree with, you know, he was defending the secondary, saying, well, at least we didn't have six balls thrown over our heads. No, but you still gave up long passes. And were it not for Mark Sanchez, you might have had a couple touchdowns.
Well, that interception to Dennard was a terrible –
he
was wide open over his head.
Yeah. They only tried to go over the top once, and he was wide open.
Right.
That was the play.
Well, and there was also another one
he missed
later in the game coming towards us. That who was it? It was down the right sideline, and I said to you, McCourty never moved his feet. His feet were in cement blocks, and they ran right by him. So let's not pretend
there was a
it's
penalty.
All fixed.
So,
yeah, there was a penalty.
Jason Hill, yes.
Yeah.
There was a penalty on the play on illegal contact on
Dennard. Yeah.
And he was still wide open.
He was still had separation.
The ball ended up being overthrown because
nothing,
of the
there was nothing
contact.
I saw in Sunday's game to tell me that the problems of the secondary had been fixed.
No.
So I would agree with that.
So I disagree with
and even
there.
Go to the Hill drop.
Yeah.
There was no one within a 6-yard radius of him on a key play in the red zone on third down. There was no one anywhere near him.
Right. I don't think
that's why I'm a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder what exactly we are.
Yeah. They didn't have any long touchdowns over their head, but not for lack of, not because they stopped them.
Right.
The second thing he said,
they clearly chose to use that intermediate long. You know, like they had several crossing routes to Curley, some deep outs to Curley that were wide open. I heard, you know, someone was saying, well, at least the one in overtime, they had guys around him. No, they didn't. He was running clean free. It was passes that were getting thrown. We're so high, sometimes you lose track. And Andy goes, who's he throwing to? And then all of a sudden you see this little white helmet come running in. You know, he's wide open.
Yep.
How about the guy in the middle of the field?
Oh, that they lost track of.
It was like
that
right
Sanchez
before the Hill
see.
Play. A couple.
It was game tying.
There was no one within 25 yards of him, and
that was
pissed.
On the game tying field goal when Sanchez was looking frantically left, right. How he didn't see that guy in the middle of the field unattended to, I don't know.
And the Jets are doing this with nobodies. Let's face it.
Oh, Chaz Sheeland's had about 8 balls go off his face mask during that
game. I mean,
game.
These guys are so.
Well, you can't say
like
Stephen Hill's
Jameson.
A nobody.
No,
I mean,
no.
That's
but
a
he's,
high
he's
pick.
Young.
He's a young raw player. Yeah. They certainly don't want to have to rely on him.
The other thing he said that I really, the more I thought about it, the more I agreed. Usually when Bill is asked about rules or the state of the game, he usually defers to, you know, go ask the league. We just deal with what we've got. And, you know, as long as it's fair for everyone, you know, we just deal with it. But he went into length about overtime. And, you know, he said, look, you know, one of the great things about football is you play to the clock, you play to the end of the game, and there's a lot of strategy involved in that. And I really enjoy it. I like that. And he believes that overtime should be the same way. Give us a time, whatever that is, 8 minutes, 15 minutes, 10 minutes, and let us play to the clock, because that's the way football is supposed to be played.
I mean,
all these other
I'm
rules.
All
well, I'm all in on something, because I got to tell you, that was so unfun. Like, there's a review, and who's going to have it, and, you know, like Brady says, we were ready to go back on the field because we thought they were going to get a field. Like, it's so anticlimactic. Like,
yeah.
It's,
And I mean, if you have a good enough offense where you can hold the ball for 8 minutes, and that, okay, well, you did it. But I think it's good to be consistent with how the game is played. And why go into overtime and just change the rules?
Right.
Like, they, you know, in college, it gets ridiculous sometimes. They get to these six overtimes. And it,
yeah, I kind of like those.
But it's no longer football.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it is. But...
It is, but not really. You know, you played...
You're right. It is not traditional football.
60 minutes by one set of rules, and then you go in overtime, and it's a different set of rules and a different strategy altogether. And I agree with him. I think they should look at that again.
And they will. I think they've clearly said, we want to fix it, we're trying to fix it, but I don't think they're set in stone that this is the way it's going
to
be.
And look, I know 15 minutes is a long time when it comes to TV and all that. That's really almost another 45 minutes.
Make it 10.
But I think you go 15. I think you go 15 because you pretty much guarantee that both teams are going to get a possession in 15 minutes. I've seen 12-minute drives, but not much longer than that, you know, and those are rare, you know. So I think
plus, like you said, if you could possibly hold it for 15 minutes,
yeah,
well, you deserve it.
Right.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't have any problems with that. But I think 10's enough. I think 10's enough.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. We got a lot to talk about. Webradio at Patriots.com. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to some phone calls right off the bat. Chester's in Portland, and he usually brings it. What do you got, Chester?
Hey, yeah, Jets suck.
I love it. That's all you need to say.
Hey, guys, how you doing today?
Good.
Tough win. You know, big throwback week. Of course, I dusted off the old Grogan jersey for the second week in a row. I ditched the neck roll because I'm convinced that sucker's jinxed, just like the past teams that I grew up with. You know, obviously for you newcomers or you new schoolers, number 14 is obviously Zoltan Mesko's jersey. And I'm at my local bar this weekend, and a Jets fan with a Revis jersey looks at me, starts heckling me, says, hey, look at that guy over there with the punter jersey on. And in true Andy Hart fashion, I look at the guy and I say, hey, your mother's a punter.
There you go. Very
well,
good.
Well, you are at the end of that word, and suffice to say, we got up close and personal. And... not for my bartender, he'd be heading to ER just like his boy.
I got a feeling, Chester, you have a lot of war stories that related around bars.
Well, let's just say Patron was out of my diet. Thank God. Yeah, cooler heads prevail. The moral of this story is don't call someone's mom a punter. It can get ugly.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, on to some topics here. Good to see Vereen in the mix. You know, I know Bolden's gone, and, you know, Vereen definitely brought it. For what he got, at least, with those eight carries. But I like Flash. I like what he brought, you know, as far as just running between those tackles. And I think he brings something out of the backfield. Of course, Woody did his thing, and I really enjoyed that, too. But, guys, we need to win a close one. Honestly, I think that's what our defense needs. That's how we got three rings in the first place. And, you know, this big three, you know, circus act that we have putting off all these points, we have no rings to show for it. And I think we've got to think about that a little bit. It was a character builder, in my opinion, although it was a heart attack special, obviously. But we got to continue to learn each week. Really looking forward to this bye week. I think we reload. I think we get healthy. It was glaringly obvious, like you guys said. Our guys are banged up, and you know, we got to tame down our expectations. And, Fred, you know, hearing your lead of the show, I was really surprised because I thought, you know, you'd say, where were the points and this and that. And I think we're all starting to smell the coffee, so to speak, in that respect. But, you know, offense, it ain't what it used to be, and I think we've got to realize that. And, you know, looking at years past, this is really when we flip the switch. I'm really worried that St. Louis is going to be a little trap game this weekend. I'm sure you guys might think the same way. But a win is a win is a win. 2-0 in the division, and only one way to look, and that's up from here.
All right, Chester, thank you.
Thanks, Chester.
I don't think it's a trap game.
I don't think it's a trap game either.
I think they could
lose.
I'm done with that. Well, to me, a trap game means you shouldn't lose to them.
Right.
I don't think the Patriots are good enough to say we shouldn't lose to the Rams. I mean, the Rams are a pretty good team on defense, and they have some talent on offense. They have a guy that's hitting. I mean, you can argue why the Rams should be considered able to win this game.
Sure.
That's not a trap. A trap is that team blows. We should blow them off the field.
We're
and,
looking ahead the next week.
Yeah. There's no trap here.
Yeah, it's not a trap game, I agree. And I think London eliminates that anyway because it's an odd situation. So it automatically, I think it gets you focused a little bit because you want to make sure that you're treating this like any other road game. But at the same time, I don't look at the Rams as a formidable opponent. However, based on everything we talked about in the first half hour of the show here, the Patriots aren't the team that we were expecting them to be at this point. Now, maybe they'll be that at some point in the second half, but right now you can't dismiss anyone, and I certainly don't dismiss the Rams. I agree with you guys. It's a team that, if the Patriots aren't careful, could cause some problems.
Let's talk about the injuries. Before I talk about the safeties, just before the game, we noticed that Dan Connolly wasn't out at warm-ups. He did show up for the game, but then was out. I guess he had some type of illness.
Indigestion.
You know, I said at the beginning of the year, and I'll continue to say it, this offensive line is unsettled. Every week, Tom Brady sees a different, at least one different guy in front of him. I will say that I think Solder and Vollmer's play pretty well. I think they've gotten better every week, and I'm happy with that. You know, it hasn't been as much a problem, but up the middle, it's really unsettled, and until they can get that consistency and continuity going, it's going to be an issue.
Yeah, it's certainly an issue for Brady. I think the Lions played pretty well, personally. You know, I think they've had their ups and downs, but they've always had those. We can romanticize how great Matt Light in that line was, but they would have struggles again. You know, a Darnell Dockett would have a bad matchup.
No, and I agree with that. And I think when you look at each play and if you graded it like the coaches do, they'd probably get decent grades. But I'm talking more about what Brady sees.
Yeah, me too.
And what's in his head.
Me too.
And what's in his head.
That's a Brady issue, not
right.
An O-line issue.
I agree.
So I don't have anything to do with the offensive line getting consistency. The quarterback needs to sack up and say, I'm the guy I was 5 years ago. Or we need to say, he's not the guy he was 5 years ago, but don't blame it on the offensive line. I think this is a Brady problem, not a line problem, personally.
Well, I don't think
he's a bad guy for it. You know, he's a late 30s quarterback who's taken a lot of hits in his career. I'm okay that maybe you're not willing to stand in and take the same pounding. I mean, Brett Favre did not take the same pounding late in his career. It was in his head. There's no doubt about that. So I'm not saying it's not reasonable and it's not okay, but let's not pretend it isn't happening. To me, it's a Brady problem.
Okay, fair enough. But again, I will reiterate, I do think that Solder and Vollmer have, you know, we thought that, boy, that could be an issue. It's what, you know, the way the season started. But
they've
held their own. I think,
and
we talked about this
on the Ross Report podcast that, you know, Dante told us this was going to happen. Basically, he said, you guys are worried about the tackles. You thought it was going to be perfect. It wasn't perfect with Matt Light. The sky was falling back then, too, when he was first starting. And he told us these are good young tackles. Solder's going to be fine. And he was right.
Right.
We should have listened to him. He knows more than us.
Now you get to the safeties. You know, Gregory, we thought he had a chance. You know, the Pat Patriot helmet showed up in his locker all of a sudden. But, you know, he was a scratch. Chung was already a scratch. We kind of knew that. So now, you know, you're down to and. I think they did the right thing by moving McCourty over to safety and have Wilson, you know, start next to him and let Dennard get his start at the corner.
I think they went with the four best theory.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that was the right one.
Four best guys in the field, and I think that was the right thing to do. The results, not so good, though. You know, I mean, Sanchez had below a 50% completion percentage going into this game.
You're right.
And he had almost 70% in this game. You know, that's...
And he didn't even look good doing it. That's the fun
part.
Yeah,
that was the... I mean,
look at the balls that he could have completed
or,
that he didn't.
Or that's balls that he could have made better throws, that maybe more
right?
run after the catch.
The frightening part of the last 2 weeks is I think that both of those two quarterbacks were, as advertised, poor.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you still allowed them to, at times, pick you apart. Because I think that Sanchez made a number of bad throws in that game, not to mention bad decisions, but I'm talking flat-out bad throws. There was a chart in the Boston Globe today. They were talking about all the big plays that the secondary has given up this season, and it had all the quarterbacks the Patriots have faced this year, and it had their stats and their season average without the Patriots game counted in, and you see how much better they did against the Patriots than their season average otherwise. And it highlighted certain categories. So yards, every quarterback the Patriots have played this year, with the exception of Kevin Cobb, had a season high in something. Yards, completion percentage, completions, attempts, something was the highest that they've had all year against the Patriots. That is telling. That's what teams are looking at. And they're saying, we can beat the Patriots if we chuck it all over the place, even if we don't throw the ball all that well as a rule.
Mm-hmm. is there hope? I mean, you know, you assume Chung and Gregory are going to come back. And maybe Dennard keeps his corner job.
Well, but that's what I think there is hope. If Chung, I still think Gregory is a good, solid safety that can be a benefit to this defense. Chung is out there. McCourty is obviously a starter. Bill has, you know, said that. And if Dennard takes over for Arrington, and Arrington now becomes maybe your nickel guy, I think that secondary has some hope to it. I just don't think the floor has fallen out there. I really don't. And I said to Paul, I don't think this defense is as bad as it was last year. And, you know, there's certainly reason to argue that it is. But in my opinion, this defense is not as hopeless as it was last year.
They are still giving up the most passing yards in the league.
Yeah.
They're last.
And I didn't say I had a good reason to say it's not terrible.
No, it's one of those things. Statistically, it's telling you it's every bit as bad as last year. But I kind of agree with Andy. It doesn't look as bad.
No.
Now, that and $5 will get you a cup of coffee. It doesn't look as bad, you know?
Is this cold cream on the makeup?
Yeah.
I still don't know what that means, but it's your phrase.
I agree with Andy. I don't think it's as bad.
Yeah.
But I don't really have, if you ask me why I don't think it's as bad, I'm not sure I have a reason to tell you.
Yeah, I mean, it could be just a general team thing, and I think both sides of the ball just need to get it together. I think they've got the ability to do that, but we haven't seen it in 60 minutes yet.
Maybe that's why we don't think it's as bad, because the offense, to me, hasn't been as good as last year.
Right.
As a rule, and maybe that's why this defense is actually better than last year's, because if last year's defense was forced to carry any part of the load, maybe it would have been even worse than what we saw last year.
Correct.
Could be.
Yeah.
A couple just news notes, housekeeping issues. Mike Rivera is back, the linebacker.
Bumble?
I'm guessing on the practice squad since they bumped up Tarpinian.
Yeah, I didn't
I'm
see
guessing
Bumble.
Rivera's on our practice squad again. He was in the locker room. He's back in some form. Brandon Bolden was in the locker room with a surgical sock on his left leg. Not a major limp for a guy who apparently
kind
was on crutches
Hernandez
a week ago.
Like a few weeks back.
Yeah. So
all of a sudden he was walking.
Actually had a little bit of a bounce to his step talking to some people. So Bolden maybe not quite as dire as people thought as of a week ago. Logan Mankins came out of the training room right at the very end.
11:59, 57.
And looked like he looked last week. He walks fine, but can't play apparently.
Hey.
Did you take it as a shot at Dan Conley when Bill said, you know, and he had
indigestion?
Yeah.
Or whatever it was.
I kind of took that as
a weird
shot.
Choice of words, because obviously it was more than indigestion.
Right. And yeah. I was wondering if he was mad that we took the chance on you by keeping you active. You told us you could go or whatever, and then you really couldn't go. And it like you put us in a spot that we could have just made you inactive or something. And I just wondered if that was some sort of a shot.
Absolutely. When he used the word indigestion, that definitely raised a flag with me.
Me too.
Yeah. So.
It's unanimous. We all kind of thought it was odd.
And then the one final thing that I thought was sort of newsworthy, although we don't like to make the media part of the story, but the Matt Patricia conference call yesterday, I don't know if you listened to it.
I did not.
Where Tom Curran kind of went at him. I believe it started with Shalice, who was writing the big play story for the Globe. You know, you guys have allowed 39, 20-plus yard plays. What's going on there? Matt had his, you know, answer. We're trying to get better every week and blah, blah, blah. And Curran just came in with like three follow-ups of, you know, everybody's trying to get better. Why aren't you getting better? And Patricia went back to, we're just trying to get better every week. And yes, understanding that. I'm going to try this again. Everybody's trying to get better. Why aren't you getting better? Like, really kind of hammered him a little bit, which I think, A, is fair. He's a defensive coordinator on a team that can't stop giving up 20-yard plays, but is unfair to me in that they wouldn't do it to Bill Belichick. And he's the one that you should be asking these questions.
True.
And you would not have hammered Bill Belichick the way you're hammering the guy who's just doing what Bill Belichick tells him to say.
Yeah.
No, so I think it's fair for the question, but not to the person you're asking it to.
Yeah. Yep. Let's go to the phones again. Jeff is in Vegas. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Swimmingly.
Swimmingly and tremendous, I presume.
Yeah, I want to ask you a question, Mr. Gambling Man, Patriots fan. 23-20, the Patriots led, right, Paul? So a total
Correct.
Of 43 points with the Jets holding the football, right? And you took the Jets in the money line and you took the over. Were you rooting for a Jets touchdown to make yourself big money?
I was not. I was not. Now, granted, had the Jets won the game and had I got the 4.75 to 1, I would have bought lunch for the entire year. And not a Christian reneging on buying lunch for a month. I mean, Justin Big is buying lunch for the entire year if the Jets were a play here or there away. But no, I could not have tolerated that loss.
So you were rooting for the Patriots, even though financially it was in your best interest for the Jets to score a touchdown and take that game?
Completely.
Okay.
Money is replaceable. These wins, you take them with you forever.
You're a loser.
So anyway, speaking of losers, no, just kidding. For Chester, I love that Grogan neck roll, illustration. But Chester, just slow it down a little, man. You're rushing in your presentation. He's just reading his.
We're now
a little
critiquing
too fast.
Other callers. That's not going to work out well for you because Chester's back at you.
And Jeff, you've never been accused of rushing your calls. I can tell you that much.
Very good friend.
I've been accused of rushing other things and premature.
Oh, hey now. Sounds like a personal problem.
Jeff's not just in Vegas. He's in something.
Yeah, if you want to rag on me, folks, it's at JeffVegas12 on Twitter. Anyway, going on to Sanchez, I think the reason why Brady will play for a long, long time, if you guys ever seen, I'm sure Paul has, that Larry Bird video when Johnny Most is like, he's got eyes all on the back of his head.
Yeah. Yeah, that's from the Bird video, yeah.
Yeah, describing Larry Bird, Johnny Most, R.I.P., Brady just sees the field like he would never miss these. Like he might not make the right throw or not make a perfect throw, although he threw some beautiful balls to Brandon Lloyd. I mean, some of those, 50 yards down the field.
Yeah, they
just hands.
Yeah, they just weren't catches.
But Tom never. I mean, you see these other like new, younger quarterbacks just not see people that are wide open. You rarely, if ever, see Brady do that in his entire career.
I would agree with that. The Hill one and the whoever the big white tight end in the middle of the field was.
Ruland.
Brady doesn't miss those.
Although Brady missed Hernandez on the flea flicker. He was wide open.
I think he couldn't step into the throw.
Yeah.
And by the time he
out.
Yeah.
And that end zone view, you could see the pressure coming up.
Yeah,
the middle.
He couldn't deliver the ball the way he would have needed to there, I don't think.
Wow. Yeah, and let's give Gostkowski.
Yeah, you're
some
negative.
Credit.
Wow, you're negative. I'm being
No. Let's give Gostkowski some credit. You guys are ready to cut him 2 weeks ago. I mean, he split the uprights on that 43 yada.
Oh, I was never ready to cut him.
I was never.
No, no, no. Some of your people, your super fans, were ready to cut him, but
someone asked if it would be fair to bring someone in to compete, someone to have a tryout, and I said, yeah, I think that's fair, but I didn't want to cut him. It's competition. That's all. That's all I wanted.
Just like you didn't cut Matt Cassel back in the day.
I didn't want to cut Matt.
No, I wanted to cut Matt Cassel.
Andy wanted to,
and I was ultimately right. He's not a starting quarterback in the league.
Last thing, they're going to roll over the Rams in London. They just know how to prepare for the game.
I'm not going there anymore, Jeff. I'm not going there anymore.
No matter how big it is. This is the week you go there.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Speaking of Chris with the TIN, he got called out a little bit by Jeff. Christian, how you doing?
He did. Yeah, I got a beat.
Yeah.
When did I not fulfill the four lunches?
You are correct,
you
Christian.
Did.
You did.
According to Jeff in Vegas, you didn't, so take it up with him.
Yeah, you owe us two
I was
lunches.
Actually going to try. Hey, Kevin.
Speaking of which, where's the food?
If I had wanted to conference in Christian with Jeff's call, could I have done that?
You could have, yes.
I was going to let you get on and give it to him right there, Christian. Should I have done that?
Please do, next time.
Okay.
Get back and to come back to me, okay?
All right.
That's what he needs to do.
He also called your mother a punter.
He didn't say that. Stop starting trouble.
All right, I'm calling your mother a punter.
Oh, you're so funny. Is he having all the one-liners?
What do you got? Is your glass half empty or half full today? You're a guy who measures water for a living.
Hey, listen, man. I called last week. I said the team was going to be fine, and so I'm half full, you know?
Well, you're half full of it. You're right.
Even if my secondary is completely empty.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nobody within, like, what can you ask these guys? He was throwing balls. They were ducks. They were legitimately ducks at times and completing passes. Playing the role of Jericho Costery was Jeremy Curley, whatever the hell that kid's name was. I mean, just catching passes all over the place. I expected them to be a little bit better this week, just a little.
Dennard looks a little better.
Well,
yeah.
Can we hang our head on? We have one guy we kind of like right now.
I like Dennard.
But
yeah,
even he kind of struggled on Sunday. I mean, it's his first extended time.
Speaking of which, sorry to interrupt, Christian, but when I was talking to him the other night, and he was, I was covered too. It's not my fault.
Yeah.
But he also said, I got a couple holding calls, and, I didn't really think they were holding, but I guess if the ref says they're holding.
One of them, Curly's shirt almost came off.
Well, he goes, I didn't think it was holding because I let go of him after 5 yards. You can't hold within 5 yards, right? You can hit.
You can hit.
You can't hold.
Right.
And I didn't want to give him like a coaching.
Well,
you can't do that.
Yeah,
I like his confidence, but He's going to have to come.
And I like the physical play. I like the physical play.
He's got some growing pains to go through.
I'll live with a couple of those penalties. Hopefully they won't happen on key third down stops the way the Jets did in overtime. You know, I like the way Kyle Wilson played that, but you can't get a penalty when you would have gotten off the field. So there's a time and a place.
I had a question about the offense. The 4-minute offense in particular that we talk about and them not executing. Somewhere along the line, does the no huddle that they run throughout the game hurt them when it comes to the 4 minutes? Because when you have a regular game and you go in no huddle and you're just running your plays and you're in a rhythm and you run, you pass, you run, whatever it is, all of a sudden now they get to this point where it's 4 or 5, and it happened Sunday. They got the ball back with 5 and change, and like you guys just said, you expected, Mesko to come out and punt, and he did. Does that hurt them? Does it hurt them that they can't just get into a groove? I don't know if it's a play calling thing, just not make a play thing. What do you guys think?
I don't know. I would imagine it's hard to shift back and forth between those two things. You have to, you have to execute. And again, it goes back to that.
But this is like a Richard Sherman question. Are they a gimmick?
Yeah.
And when you just need to line up and play football for 4 minutes, as Christian says, do you lose your gimmick aspect and you can't do it? I have the answer to that. I don't know. I'd like to think no. I think if they just start executing, this all goes out the window. They're not executing, in my opinion, in those key times. And I know that sounds like the cliche coach quarterback answer, but
everyone should
true.
Execute. And that's true. But you see the plays there. It's not like, the play's not there, or the ball wasn't delivered right. You see where, they should have had that.
I'd love to have
them.
And
4-minute offense?
Well, not when they run Ridley into the line twice.
Yeah, because I think I agree with Christian. The 4-minute offense, it looks hopeless.
I would love to have the ability to just pound it, to say, I have a great back and we have a great offensive line and we're just going to blow you off the ball. They don't have that. So that's not going
to
be it.
But that's not who they are. I mean, you can run a 4-minute offense without having to pound the ball.
Sure, and they've done it for years.
I think they're doing well. You know how I feel on the whole running game thing. I think that they need to just continue. I think it's less an issue with the no huddle as it is with – the kind of stuff you mentioned, that the Richard Sherman thing about the gimmick, and I don't think that's the only reason why they have successful plays. I think that they run, because if they could still run the no huddle, I mean, if it was between that and not being able to move the ball, then I would say just keep going no huddle.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to get one extra first down instead. But if you feel that confident that you can get these guys off guard, and that's why, I think they have to execute even in the no huddle.
You can run no huddle and still take time off the clock. You just take it at the line.
Well, no, I'm talking about the hurry up. Yeah,
okay.
The plays are going to be running quickly, but I feel like they don't run the ball that effectively when the other team is playing run in some way. So I would suggest not running the ball as much as they have. And I know that sounds, counter to what you need to do, and a lot of people think that's part of the problem the last several years is they've been unwilling to run it. I just think they're taking plays away from them in those situations. You have 3 plays to get a first down, and running Ridley into the line for one of them is meaning you only have 2 plays to get a first down. And I don't like it.
The idea is not for him.
Right,
to,
they're not planning.
I know.
Running him into the line.
I don't have any faith at all in their ability to run the ball when the other team thinks they might run. I don't have any faith at all. The only time I ever think they can run the ball is when the other team is in a small personnel group. And they have success doing that because these guys are much more dynamic than Benny was. But I don't have faith that 1st and 10 from our own 20 with 4 minutes left, the other team's in base defense, I don't have faith that they're gonna get 5 yards on first down.
All right, Christian.
All right,
thanks for calling. By the way, Brandon Spikes continues to be the fist in this defense. I mean, that hit he put on Sean Green looked at first like a helmet-to-helmet, but it wasn't. It was shoulder-to-shoulder and just rocked him. And Sean Green's a load. I mean, it's not like this is a small bat.
And he tried to lower the shoulder onto Spikes.
Onto Spikes.
It's not like he got blindsided.
He braced himself.
He tried to knock Spikes out and knocked himself out.
Yeah, tough day otherwise for him, though.
Yeah, on coverage.
Yeah.
Mike is in San Diego and says he has a beef with me. What's your beef?
Yeah, hey, Fred.
Hey.
Hey. Yeah, well, with you and all the Patriots fans right now, I live in San Diego.
You're not a fan?
No, I love the Patriots.
Oh, okay, so you're a fan too.
Of course.
Okay.
But I'm tired of all the
So your beef
fans.
Is with yourself?
Sure, Fred.
All right.
No, I my beef is with you and your little blog on the
Oh, game. My your little blog.
that was nicely done, Mike.
You got it, Paul. At the end of the game there, you know, we start, it's turning out to be this blowing, we're blowing the game in the fourth quarter again, and all the fans just start whining like these little babies. I'm going to watch my language here, but I swear, I live in San Diego. We've got the most fair weather fans here on the planet, and I can't stand San Diego, and I can't stand the fans here, and Patriots fans, to me, are starting to sound like that, and it just drives me crazy. And so my beef with you, Fred, is that I posted on the blog several times towards the end there. I said, if we come back and win this game, I want all these fair weather fans to go find a new team.
Mike, had I seen your post, I would have posted it. I swear to God.
Fred was pouting. He shut it off.
Look, I'm not making excuses, but let me tell you something, and this is no exaggeration. Literally, there were over 12,000 comments sent in over the course of the game. I'm looking up at the game, and then when there's a break, I glance down and I sift through comments that are coming in. I literally did not see your comment. I would have posted, but over 12,000 were sent in. I just can't post them all.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a big blog, then, that you got going on there. I just get tired of it. I mean, when McCourty fumbled the ball, my heart sank when it happened. I thought, oh, my gosh.
The game was over. When McCourty fumbled the ball, the game was over.
I wrote game over when he did that.
Rex,
I know you did.
If you want to criticize Rex Ryan in that game, that's where you criticize him, because the game should have been over right there, and he played for a field goal, and that cost his team the game.
That's true. But, you know, the thing is, me, I kept the faith. I had family over who don't even watch football that much, and they were all rooting for the Patriots because of me. And we all kept the faith, and we came back. And, you know, anyways, I mean, they show they can actually come back and win. I know it wasn't pretty, wasn't the game we wanted and all that, but they can still fight. You know, I think Brady said it all the other day that we're spoiled as fans now. I think he's kind of right about that. And, like, look, these games are not always going to be pretty. Let's just hang in there, you know, have some good mojo and keep rooting for the team even when we're down, you know. So.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
All right.
And,
thanks,
and keep posting. I promise if I see you, was it Mike in San Diego?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll post you if I see it.
No worries.
All right. All right. Mike in San Diego. Let's go to Olivier in Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
Do your job.
I'm trying.
No, I was not talking to you guys. I was talking to the team. How come I feel depressed? We won, but I feel like we lost.
Yeah, that's how this game...
It's a common feeling.
And I think the players are the same way. You know, I think the players are well aware of the many mistakes they made in all three phases of the game that easily could have led to a loss. And I know Bill said they turned the page quickly to the Rams, but the players know the things they left on the field that in other games could bite them in the ass.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I don't think... I mean, someone's got to explain to me why at the press conference people say, well, we have to play for 60 minutes. Well, no, of course you have to play for 60 minutes.
No, duh.
It's not even written in their contract they have to play for 60 minutes. I mean, to me, it doesn't make any sense that someone has to tell them they have to play for 60 minutes. I mean, they get their paycheck, don't they?
Absolutely.
Oh, the fan. The natives are restless today.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and they actually had to play.
I have no idea how much it costs in 70. Therapy, psychiatric therapy, pills and all that stuff after games like this.
That's because you're all spoiled, like Brady said.
No, he's spoiled.
Well, that's true, too.
All right,
he
Olivier.
Did grow up with a silver spoon.
I hear you.
Party like a Viking. Bye.
Okay. You know,
but you give them no credit, because everybody likes to say good teams win even ugly. You know,
right.
Good teams find a way. Is this one of those wins, or are you not at that point?
No,
I give them credit. I think Fred ran those down.
Absolutely.
Don't you?
Well, I think if they were, you know, 6-1 right now, you'd say that. The fact that they're 4-3,
look, they're struggling. And this could have, they're struggling.
You know,
yeah,
it's a little different.
There's a difference between big pitcher and small pitcher.
Like Notre Dame,
look,
won ugly, but they're undefeated.
Every week.
They won.
Look,
but
when
they won ugly,
when McCourty
they
fumbled,
they're a top five team.
When McCourty fumbled that ball, there are some teams that would turtle, and that would be it.
Right.
They have to play a road game this week.
But they, you know, they fought through it and came out the other side. So let's hope that now we're going to see better things. They're struggling. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, see, to me, it's a big picture, small picture thing. In the microcosm of the game, I give them all the credit in the world for finding a way to win the game when they didn't bring their A game. And finding a way with, you know,
how do you
a
know
minute.
They didn't bring their A game?
With a minute 30. That's my big picture. Don't step on my big picture. My big picture is this is what they are. I mean, for 7 weeks, this is basically what they've been. To me, the only game that did not have the ability to go either way was
Denver.
The opener.
Well, Denver, too, right?
No. The Denver game, you were You were 10 yards away from the same situation that you were in the other day. It would have been a three-point game with 3.5 minutes left, right?
I just felt I felt at ease in the Denver game.
But Fred,
you shouldn't have.
But just as a point of fact, they were 10 yards away from doing exactly what the Jets did, scoring a touchdown to make you have to get first downs at the end of the game.
Yeah.
And McGahee, he dropped the ball for the second time of the fourth quarter after dropping an easy fourth down pass earlier than that. So that I think the only game that really was completely controlled was the opener. And that's why, I mean, big picture, Andy, to your point, is I think this is kind of what they are. And how do you know they didn't bring their A game? I don't know that that might be their A game.
Let's take one more phone call before we break. Eldridge is in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good.
I'm doing pretty good, too. I'm like,
you don't sound it.
Love to win, but feeling like half full and half empty.
Yep.
About it. Because to me, Brandon Lewis will be the number one receiver, correct? I know Welter. No, on the outside. I ain't counting Bronk and Hernandez. Until them two guys get healthy, we're going to struggle. Until they're 100% healthy, we're going to struggle on offense. Defense, I think they need to shift the whole secondary and the coach down to prime time in Dallas to go through a class and a course. They all need them. They need it. Because I ain't never seen so much bundling secondary in my life for 2 years in a row. And each time we go up, they let us down each time, you know. Cordy's the same way. And Lord, I mean, I think the other week, guys, it's Brady half or whatever. Brady's the man no matter what. I think they was on John Rookshaw. But like I said, when you got receivers dropping the ball, he can't run down there and catch it too.
That's true.
Two beautiful
passes. That's what Giselle said.
Yep. You're not the first person to say that.
Two beautiful passes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you can't catch him. But any other time, he's catching. And yep. Like I said, and then you won't go deep with Welter, which is 5'3" and slow.
Yep.
You know, that's ridiculous.
You can't have your outside guy, the guy that you're supposed to bring you a part of the game that you didn't have last year, be 1-for-8. You just can't have that.
And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And that's why I can't understand why in the devil they cut Star Wars for gas. I know you said they was hurt. But hell, they better than anybody we got there.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that.
I'm not sure Stallworth was. I'm pretty sure
he
wasn't.
I tell you what. I would give Stallworth the benefit of the doubt going deep and catching. Then I will Welch or Lloyd.
Okay, so you wanted to cut Lloyd and keep Gaffney or Stallworth?
No, you brought Sauter in. I know he's probably hurt. He ain't played yet.
Who?
You drafted Ebert.
Salas.
He didn't make the roster. Okay, got Slater, whatever. You could have cut somebody else.
But those guys aren't on the team.
Brought in Stallworth.
They did cut all those guys.
I ain't say cut all of them.
No, but all the guys that you just said they could have cut, they're not on the team.
Yeah, they could have cut. They could have cut. But
they did.
On the team. They cut Ebert. Okay.
And Salas is on the practice squad. They cut him, too.
And you could bring in Stallworth anytime you want.
He's available.
I wish they'd bring him in. if not him, somebody, that's, like I said, we need a deep threat. I don't care what nobody, I've been saying that for years.
Yeah.
I don't care. We got the best two tight ends in the world, I think. And in a good running game now. We just don't have nobody stretch the field to scare the defense. So that's why when it's in the crunch time, they shut down on the short zone.
Well, that's certainly what the Jets did. Thanks, Eldridge. You know, the Jets did that thing where they funnel things into the middle, and that's the way they win. They were probably aided by the fact that, you know, Hernandez and Gronkowski weren't at full speed. But that's what they did. And when the Patriots tried to break that 8 times, they could, well, you know, not all 8 times, but a few times to Lloyd, they couldn't do it, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Food's here. We've been going an hour strong. Let's take a break. We got a lot of emails, and I promise I'll get to them right after this.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for a tremendous fall tire sale. And best of all, there are no forms to fill out, no rebates to wait for. Save an instant $70 when you buy four select Bridgestone tires now through October 31st. We'll take $70 off the invoice on the spot. Save on quality Bridgestone tires, such as the Dueler HL Alenza, Taranza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. There's a Bridgestone tire for every season here in New England, and now is the perfect time to buy during our fantastic sale. Remember, we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance, with over 100 ASE certified master technicians on staff, plus easy online appointments and free shuttle service. Check out the everyday low prices on Bridgestone tires and our incredible Bridgestone tire offer. Make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. Sale ends October 31st. In-stock tires only. This is a Sullivan Tire promotion. See store for details.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
Story time with Fred Kirsch.
Well, we were talking about back in the day when the Patriots had more dual practices, and the Giants used to come quite a bit down at Bryant College where the Patriots used to have the training camp. So one day, the Giants were set to arrive, and at Bryant College, it would always be a Dell's truck set up. I love Dell's
frozen lemonade.
Yeah. It's like a Rhode Island, Southern Mass thing. You can't get it anywhere else. I don't know why. I would always get Dell's, you know, before practice, and one day, I decided, oh, you know what, I'm going to...
It's called slush anywhere else.
No, no. Dell's is is different than slush. So I decide, okay, I'm going to buy all the PFW guys, all my guys, Dell. So I go to the Dell's truck and I get a tray of, I think I had like 9 cups of Dell's. Just as I'm walking back, the Giants arrive. So all the Giants are walking up the path, led by their head coach, Jim Fossil. As I'm walking by, I say to Coach, welcome to the Patriots training camp. While you're here, you got to have a Dell's. And I'm holding this tray. So he goes, oh, great. And he starts taking them and giving them out to his coaches. So I'm like Kraft when Putin took
the ring.
What do you do? You know, oh, no, those aren't for you. So I let him take them, and I was out all that money. I had to go back and spend another $30.
That was Story Time with Fred Kirsch.
See what you get for trying to be an ambassador?
That's right.
Keep your head down and your mouth shut like I would have.
I could totally see where he... You know, the miscommunication was, so I just shut my mouth and let him take all my Dells. All right, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. We're having a good conversation here. I mean, I think people are legitimately concerned about what's ahead. You know, it's legitimate concern. I don't think it's being negative, but I think the coaches have the same concerns. There's no doubt. They know something's wrong.
Yeah, but they have to fix it. We don't.
Right.
We just have to talk about it.
Well, and I think that's their...
You still got it on
at least,
chin.
You know, I think fans feel like at least they get to, like, try to do something and have an effect. Fans kind of feel helpless. So when they hear players and coaches use the cliches like, you know, we just need to work harder and all that, I think it gets frustrating for fans because fans want to hear this is what we're going to do. We're going to try this. We're going to use this... You know, they, and I know that the team can't do that. They're not going to give away strategy and personnel moves, but that's what makes it frustrating for fans is we don't have any way to affect it in a positive way. All we can do is sit back and watch, and it's tough.
Doesn't seem like they have a way to affect it in a positive way right now either.
But at least they, you know what I'm saying.
I hear you. I hear you, bro. You know, we should need to spend a little time, all this crap and ripping this guy and ripping this guy. You know, we need to talk about how damn good Rob Ninkovich has been this year. Because I was one who doubted his ability to hold up at defensive end. I doubted whether he was an impact player enough to hold down that spot. And he has been phenomenal. Playing linebacker, playing on the end of line of scrimmage in various roles, according to Bill Belichick. But playing linebacker in the first half, left defensive end the second half, game-winning play, strip sack, recovery. You know, he now 4 forced fumbles. He's having a phenomenal year, and he doesn't get enough credit for it.
No, he doesn't. You know... And I think in Bill Belichick's defense, that guy who plays that edge, you know, he's expected to make plays. I mean, that's...
He's expected to do a lot.
He's set up to make plays. And guys, you know, Ninkovich, just like Vrabel before him, is taking advantage of it.
And I really think it's impressive within a game to, you know, I'm going to play linebacker now. Oh, now Hightower's ready. Well, now I'm just going to go make game-changing plays at defensive end. To me, that's impressive. Even though Bill thinks it's the same thing. You know, it's... You know, it's the end of the line. You say however you want to put it.
Easy, Eric.
What?
You don't have to get your feelings hurt because Bill didn't play along. It happens to all of us.
I don't care. I just think it's, like, stupid.
Well, along those lines.
Bill, he was playing two different positions. Whether you want to acknowledge it or not, he was playing two different... You know, when I ask him and he goes, well, yeah, it is different at linebacker because when the play action passes, I have to... Oh, you mean you play two different positions? Because Bill wouldn't say that.
Along those lines, no, there's quite a few players having good seasons, you know. Ninkovich is one. I think Welker, obviously, is having a good season.
Ridiculous.
We like what we've seen from Ridley so far. We mentioned the tackles are doing better. You know, Gronkowski and Hernandez are beat up, but, you know, they're continuing to be, you know,
there's
go-to
a lot of things
guys.
That are going right. The question would be, big picture, how good can you be when you have this much problems in pass defense? Because to me, that's the most important thing. Is to be able to pass the ball and to be able to stop the pass. It's the opposite of the way it used to be. Run the ball and stop the run. And right now the Patriots can pass the ball, but they have a hard time stopping it.
But who is really... Now, you can't
be
terrible.
There's not a lot of teams, but they're that's
right
what I'm
now
saying.
They're terrible. I'm not saying you can be terrible, but if you're a little bit better, you know, everybody says
that can be
Houston
difference.
Doesn't have a great passing attack. They like to run to set up the throw. Then, you know, Andre Johnson's never been the same since he had the hamstring injury.
And he
blah,
hasn't.
Blah, blah. You know, Baltimore, you know, how good are they in terms, you know, they want to throw the ball down the field, but how good are they at it? How good is Flacco?
Right.
I mean, it's not like you are set up where you have to beat, you know, Brady, Manning, and Rodgers in 3 consecutive weeks.
But, well, the argument for that would be how good are those passing offenses? Well, they don't have to be. You don't have to be that good to be able to exploit this pass defense.
I don't think they're going to play this bad all the time. The scary part
of the last 2 weeks is, I mean, you're looking at probably 30 and 31 or 31 and 32 in the league in terms of throwing the football
right. The
last 2 weeks.
I don't think they're going to play this poorly the whole time. I mean, to me, that's like when you watch a baseball game and you score 13 in the first, and you're like, wow, there's eight innings right. left. They're going to score 100. No, usually the game ends 14 to something, like they score one more run the rest of the day. I think they have bottomed out in the secondary right now. I do not think they can get worse.
Mike in Charlotte writes, and I have two issues with this team that has me worried and like your take. One, in the past, I've always said that Belichick's defense will improve as the year goes on.
Yes.
And you could always see the small incremental improvements week after week. This year, we are halfway through the season, and the secondary is still not settled personnel-wise, and you don't see those improvements week to week. That's true.
True and true. Yep. Now, part of that is injuries.
Right.
Certainly, at safety, a big part of that is injuries. And as I said, if the safeties come back and McCourty's back at his corner spot, and Dennard has now developed, maybe you're seeing the personnel kind of fall into line here. You've added Wilson as a... Fred just grabbed his heart. Don't scare me like that. He's now drinking soda, so I think he's okay. He grabbed his heart.
I choked on my cookie.
He literally grabbed his heart. But, I mean, let's not pretend... I mean, this time last year, I don't know the exact weeks, but Matthew Slater was starting at safety. Sterling Moore, was he even on the team yet, Paul? I don't even know if he was on the team yet or he's on the... I mean, they hadn't done anything last year either. And as Fred would say, all they did is go to the Super Bowl and we're within a couple minutes of winning it. So the sky is not yet falling.
On number two on offense, Lloyd seems
is it still
to,
jammed in there.
Lloyd seems to drop a lot of catchable balls. And I'm afraid Josh is going to keep calling his number because he's his guy. Also, Brady just doesn't seem as sharp as previous years. I know he's getting older, and at this point I would not want another quarterback back there, but are we seeing the beginning of the end of his career?
Yes.
I mean,
he's on the back nine.
Why do we think he's not sharp?
Oh, I don't know. I think he bounced a lot of balls in Seattle.
Yeah, right, in the rain and after he got hit in the head. But I think he's as sharp as ever.
And it was uphill both ways, Paul, in the snow.
I think.
How can you make the comment that he's as sharp as ever?
I do. I think he is. I really do.
I mean, as I said last week, my list of Patriots problems has Tom Brady somewhere around 52 or 53, you know, in terms of the 53-man roster. I am not concerned whatsoever, but he has not been his regular sharp self week in and week out, game in, game out. Even within games, I think he has struggled at times.
I think in the Seattle game he made...
But that's one game. I'm talking about the seven games.
I don't think
he's been as sharp as he normally is.
I think in the Seattle game he made some really mental mistakes. But I think he's been...
Fred, I haven't seen him make a play like he did with the game on the line the other night. That he threw the ball. He rolled out under pressure and looked like a scared little schoolgirl throwing the ball up for grabs right to Cromartie.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him make a play like that in 10 years.
But I will say... I haven't seen him make a good or bad play. Like he just doesn't throw on the run like that.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. It was so out of character for him because that's not his game.
Yeah.
That's not his game.
He's the guy that always
just became Ray Lewis.
Sal. I didn't mean that one. That was accidental.
That was all you.
But it's not his game. That's what made it so striking to me. I said that to you at the time. Everybody makes it. Like, he makes a bad throw to Branch on the, you know, with Sherman. He was inside him. It happens. Terrible throw. To me, the throw was awful to Cromartie, but that was the least of the problems in the play. I mean, he just did something with the game on the line, moving out of the pocket that he never does. You know, I don't know how you can say he's been as sharp as ever.
Well, part of it is the new Nike jerseys. They're just too cumbersome.
They're constricting.
They are constricting, you know.
Yeah, if he had Under Armour, his company, he'd be fine.
Working with a new helmet.
Mark and Cheddar says, hey, guys, in the Hall of Famer. I can't listen live today, so I sent this email before the show. I can finally prove that Bill Belichick and Andy Hart are the exact same person.
Whoa.
And here is the proof. One, Bill Belichick has been switching Chandler Jones from the right side to the left side at times. Andy Hart said that Chandler Jones should move from side to side occasionally. Two, Bill Belichick has recently been playing Wes Welker a lot and getting him plenty of receptions and plenty of big hits. And using him on punt returns, Andy Hart said that with Welker on the franchise tag, he would use and abuse Welker and play him every snap and return every punt as he won't be coming back. Three, Bill Belichick...
Wow, was that one a stretch?
three, Bill Belichick has been strong through the first three quarters and been rubbish at the back end. Andy Hart is strong through most of the show, but is constantly let down at his rear end. And four, Bill Belichick is a metaphorical big head. Andy Hart just has a plain big head.
I think I have a metaphorical one, too.
And finally, Bill Belichick hates Eric Scalavino. Andy Hart hates Eric Scalavino.
That is a dead lock Bill and I have in common.
Now on to this last week. I don't understand why every fan is up in arms. Consider this. Before the weekend, the AFC standings, Patriots were top. The hated New York Jets were joint bottom. This weekend, more of the same. The Patriots are top. The hated Jets are joint bottom. I guess joint means something in England.
Alphabetical?
Yeah, maybe.
Because the Patriots, you know, they were all 3-3.
What more do people want? One question I have, though, the game went to overtime. Would you have preferred the game finished how it did or that the Patriots got a touchdown on the first drive and ended it?
Yes.
I prefer how it ended, as both the offense and defense stepped up. If the offense had driven for a touchdown, I wouldn't have any confidence the next time the defense needs a critical stop. I now will be 5% confident. At least it's a building block. Lastly, that was the sort of game that everyone says we can't win this year. If we went on a roll and beat the Jets and the next five opponents by 10-plus points, everyone would say that we can't win a close game. Now when we go on to beat the next five opponents by 10-plus points, that opinion will be flawed.
I don't know if Paul could make any possible more noise.
Well, part of it was because I was where I was moving it was on the next five opponents thing.
Could have turned your mic.
Oh no, I wanted the noise for disagreeing with the points.
When Paul's eating his calzone, nothing else.
Nothing gets.
Well, you don't hear that because I shut the mic off.
I hear it.
But you're sitting next to me, just like I hear Andy when he burped a little 5 minutes
ago.
But
I do hear it.
But it didn't come over my headphones.
I hear it.
You're too gonna fight.
Yeah, because he's being stubborn. That's my road. That's where I live.
He's being an a-hole. So do you legitimately feel better, Fred? Would you have felt worse had the game ended on a touchdown drive by the Patriots?
No.
Okay, thank you.
No. But I get his point. It's nice to see.
I would have rather had a touchdown, and I would have rather had the Jets not driven from their 15 to the midfield effortlessly. I would have rather have had a touchdown.
John in Florida, and he says, not the mom of good times.
I like it.
I don't get it.
Florida Evans.
John in Florida. You don't get, of all people?
He doesn't probably know what good times is, so move on.
Great show. I need a little help to understand who the Patriots are. I know we won, but I feel like we lost. I know
a lot of that this week.
What, Fred regurgitating his lunch?
I look at this team from the beginning of the season, and on paper they should be better than last year, but we have a 3-4 record. Actually, it's 4-3.
We're 4. Paul, it's the opposite. Now they're losing games they actually won.
The O-line isn't as good as last year, but better than I expected it would be. Would you agree? The front seven on the D is an improvement. The running back position is better and has surprised me. The receivers are better, and that would have improved if we just cut Ocho Cinco.
The receivers are not better.
I'm not big on Lloyd, but he does catch some of the balls thrown his way. I know we've lost three games by a total of 4 points, but it seems much worse than that. I guess it's the way we've lost. I think every game we were ahead in the fourth quarter and lost in the final minutes. Okay, my whining is done. Tell me why I shouldn't expect the same for the rest of the season.
Because the bye's coming, and all the ills will be cured in the bye. And Bill Belichick's defenses are always better over the second half of the season.
Robert writes in, well, after listening a few minutes, I'm actually surprised you guys are so upbeat. I thought we would at least have to get Fred off the ledge. A few comments.
Oh, you did. You had to get you off the ledge.
I got myself off the ledge.
One, that hard attack, grab your chest.
Notice he didn't deny being on the ledge.
This team could lose to anyone, opposing offensive coordinator. Let's throw 50 passes. Either we'll be wide open or get a penalty. Two, the offense is the problem. Get the ball back after a safety, three and out. Get an interception, out and three. Three, Devin McCourty, fail. Loved by Bill, total mystery. Saved by a big return, but this is the exception that proves the rule. And four, can you imagine the result against Aaron Rodgers or even RG3? Andy's so right about Cam Newton. Cam says jump. Carolina front office says how high on the way up. And wife, how do you think they'll do against the Rams? Me, the ship sinks at the end of the movie. Jeez. He's calling it the Titanic.
Did we ever talk about on the air that I wanted to use for the season preview cover Titanic opening? And I said no, and I told you, no, we can't, Fred, because people might think it's a Titanic sinking that the right. way that ended.
Right.
This guy actually took it literally.
Let's go to the phones. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Patrick's in Brooklyn.
Gentlemen, how you guys doing?
Good.
Couple things. I had called in a couple weeks ago, and I mentioned that, you know, the secondary was doing so bad that maybe they should put McCourty at safety, since he just seems to have, in my mind, a better knack for playing defense from that position and from the corner, and maybe bring in the Dowlings of the world. What I saw on Sunday tells me that maybe that is a plan that the Patriots are thinking about themselves, because Denard and Dowling weren't much worse than what was already out there, and I think that those guys, given some time and maybe a little bit better coaching, that they could hold up. Another point I want to make is that in the Wall Street Journal today, there was an article regarding the use of three safeties that was recently employed this weekend by the Jets, also used by the Patriots, and also used by the Texans, and they're saying that the use of the tight end, which all these teams are starting to go to now, I guess because of Belichick, is forcing teams now to get another safety that can run on the field that is better at holding up against these tight ends instead of just another corner. So I just wanted to see what you guys thought about it. And lastly, I think the Patriots are a young team. We have to give them a little time to develop. Belichick will get the defense a little stronger in the second half. And right now you're 4-3. A win is a win, and I'll take it. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Patrick. Thank you. What do you think about the whole safety thing?
Well, I think some of it is like, yes, they want big athletes that can run to match big athletes that can run. I mean, I think that's obvious. But, like, look at the Patriots. Did they have an extra safety on the field, or was one of those safeties who started at safety actually a corner? Or Tavon Wilson is a guy they drafted as a safety slash corner. He started for a full season of both in college. So I think it's hard. It's not like they had Victor Green, Lawyer Malloy, and Rodney Harrison and said, this is what we're doing. These three who were pure safeties, you know, they're tweener players now. Just like the tight ends are tweener receiver tight ends, the
you
safeties
keep saying
are tweener.
All my stuff.
Sorry, I'll let you talk.
No, it's not. No, it's that's good stuff.
But
I'm totally.
You know what
on
I mean, Fred?
You.
I mean the guy's position is now. They're not true safeties anymore. They're cover safeties or whatever you want to call them. So,
I think it's the defensive version of Aaron Hernandez. I think Andy hit the nail exactly on the head.
It's the evolution of the game.
These guys that can do a little bit of everything. I think that's defensive backs now. You know, we make fun of Bill because he never really identifies people. You know, it's an offensive lineman. It's not a tackle or a guard.
It's not a defensive end or a linebacker.
Right.
Except it is Bill.
It's an end of line player.
Except it is Bill. Sometimes he plays behind a defensive end. Sometimes he plays in front of a linebacker.
You know.
Sorry.
All of their defensive backs, I mean, they can play safety. They can play corner. It depends on how they want to
None
employ
of it
them.
Well, but.
But, you know, it gets back to my old argument that, you know, I would rather just have guys with, you know, a little bit more defined roles, and maybe they could excel at them if they only had to do one thing instead of five things.
That's a question I have about offense. As everybody wants to rip Josh McDaniels and the offense isn't as good as it should be, is it too much of the whole personnel groupings and this guy and rotate? You know, do you need to shorten the bench, quote-unquote, and just line up our best 11 and then I'll have our sub guys, you know, so we go 13 deep and just say, this is our offense?
I heard someone on the radio saying that. It might have been Boomer Esiason, I'm not sure.
On a CBS Sports Minute.
You know, saying something along those lines where, you know, there's just too much concern with the different groupings and the substitutions.
Guys are in, guys are out. Shane Vereen didn't know till right before the game he was going to play, and then he's out there and he's making plays right in the first. Like, why can't we tell a guy?
Yeah, you know, there's an old thing about, like, and I'll get a little geeky here, Microsoft Word. We all use it, right, to do our writing.
You're now telling us when you're getting geeky?
You know, we use about 10% of what it can do. You know, the average person used about 10% of what Microsoft can do. Josh is kind of like the same thing where he's got Microsoft Word, but he's determined to use all of the tools.
Except, you know, it's hurting his letters.
Yeah.
Like he's sending a letter that doesn't make sense because he wanted to show that he could use a macro. Well,
and it just seems that way. And we're laymen. We have no clue what's going on. But it seems that way. It's just like, wow. you know, somebody on the blog said, you know, the Patriots are too predictable on offense. And I wrote back and I said, no, they're not predictable. They should be. They should be going to Gronk, Hernandez, and Welker. And until that is stopped, then you go into the
right,
other
it's
stuff.
Like we got to bring in Deion.
Be
we gotta
predictable
bring in,
until they stop it.
I agree.
You know?
It's, you know, it's like Andy's thing about Vereen. Clearly, it mattered what the Jets opened up with.
Right.
And that's going to be determining what we do. Why can't he just be the running back? Or Ridley, and you know, whatever the – I don't care who you pick, but why does it have to be completely dictated on the personnel? They're running backs.
Right.
They're running backs that can run the ball. They can catch the ball a little bit. They've proven to be pretty good in blitz pickup, all of them, I think. You know, they've had some hiccups here and there, but – those three guys, and I'd make it four because I'd put Bolden in there even though he's not healthy right now. They've done okay.
But
they've
what,
made some mistakes, but they've done okay in everything. So what difference does it make who's on?
It was interesting, though, at the end of the game, those last two drives that, you know, Ridley was nowhere to be. It was all Woodhead, you know, because I think it's just a trust thing in that situation.
Because he fumbled once.
And that's
and
bad.
And McCourty fumbles, but he gets to go right back out.
And I would argue that.
Don't tell me there wouldn't have been a different person if anyone else on the planet had fumbled that kickoff.
Who said that
you.
At the time?
You.
Okay.
But you didn't say
so
it
why
now.
Why are you pointing at me?
Because you're not saying it now, and you should
what
be.
Do you
mean but
I'm
I think
not
that's a
now.
Bad thing, too, because I think you lost.
What are you talking about?
Wow. Did you just pick a. Did Andy just pick a scab there or something all of a
no,
sudden?
I have no idea what he's talking about.
No, I just did want to point out that in this. One of the emails just said a love fest for McCourty and Bill loves him. I don't think anyone else who fumbled that kickoff would have been out there on that.
I don't
one.
Either, and I said it at the time.
I know. I'm giving you credit.
But what does that have to do with not trusting Ridley in the end of the game?
Because obviously
because Ridley
he trusted
fumbled.
McCourty.
Okay, but why are you pointing at me?
Because you said it.
Okay. Well, anyway.
Didn't
but
you?
But I
want to credit
that,
you with saying
okay,
it.
Okay.
But I think
I
that hurt them,
Fred,
because he didn't have Ridley out there, and they're running Woodhead for nothing, and I think that hurt them.
Yeah.
You know, he had three or four carries in overtime and did nothing with any of them.
Why is
and
Bill Belichick?
All he did was create a second and eight, a second and nine.
Why is he madly in love with McCourty and can't possibly, you know, bench McCourty?
I don't know. You know, it just maybe.
And that's not
I
even
mean,
a benching
Slater's
on a kickoff.
Hurt. Slater's hurt, so he couldn't be deep.
Slater was out there.
Not returning kicks.
Yes, he was.
Yes, he was.
After
he was.
He got
He's
hurt.
He's the up guy.
After he got hurt, he was out there. It was amazing because I thought he died on the Jets bench.
Yeah.
There was one play that ended on the Jets bench that the Patriots went over, and it took like 10 minutes later for Slater to get himself up and walk across. After that, he was back deep on kickoffs. But also, you have Woodhead. You have other Vereen. You have other guys who have done it. Usually when you fumble in a spot like that or make a key, you're out. It's like Arrington last
McCourty
week.
Replaced
he got
Woodhead.
Toasted, and then he couldn't get back in there.
He loves him some Devin McCourty.
He does. Why?
I don't know. It's his guy.
They're all his guys. He drafted and signed all of them. They're all his guys. So Shane Vereen's not his guy? Stephen Ridley's not his guy?
He loves him some McCourty.
Why? You haven't given me an answer yet.
I don't know.
It's
I
weird.
Do not know.
It's weird. He has... Almost like the teacher's pet thing where he can do no wrong.
I think
he gives him an apple with a worm in it, and Bill goes, I love worms.
I get the sense, you know, from every time that Bill talks about him, it's like, you know, he does a lot of things that we ask him to do. And I think, again, we talked about this in another show. There's probably a ton of things that we have no idea about that the coaches know that he's doing really well out there that we just don't know about.
I think that the things that we do know about. I think he tackles well and he's good in run support. Bill likes all that stuff. I don't care about it all for a corner. I know that everybody used to make fun of Deion Sanders because he wasn't a great tackler. I don't care. That's not what I paid him for. I paid him to shut down somebody. So I'll live with a couple of missed tackles if I can shut down someone else's receivers. We can't do that. But no one gets around the corner on Devin McCourty. That's great. And what did you say we were in pass defense?
What do we? I say we were
32.
We were in terms of passing yards.
But no one gets
left.
Around the corner on us because Arrington and McCourty can tackle.
Johnny in L.A. says my glass is half full. People are depressed about this win. Grow up. Winning football games in the NFL is
I don't
difficult.
Think you should talk to Bill Belichick like that.
Winning football
pretty
games against a hated
game.
Division rival that knows you well and has a terrific defensive-minded coach is really tough. We were down two starting offensive linemen and both starting safeties. Gronk is nicked up. Hernandez isn't at full strength, and we won. Did we win by 400? No, but it's not 2007, and we're not going 16-0 again, probably ever. So grow up and take the win and enjoy it. P.S. I'm not listening live, so I'm unsure who I'm arguing with.
I like that.
That's good.
I like the ability to argue with oneself. I've made a career out of it. Bad career, someone could argue.
I was going to say, what is the definition of made a career?
Belichick wasn't all that pleased.
No.
With that performance. So he telling him to snap out of it?
Well, he admitted he didn't know what he was telling it to.
Although he was in a good mood yesterday on the radio. We talked the week before how he was really grumpy.
Well, that's probably why.
He was in a really good mood.
He probably went and listened and said,
I was an a-hole even for me.
I can give him a little more.
Alex from Maryland, do you see McDaniel's play calling becoming becoming predictable as I do? We just talked about that. If I see one more draw with Woodhead on second down, I'm going to go crazy. We need to stop running with Woodhead so much. He's a good receiver, not a great runner. How did Dowling play? He committed a few penalties, but how was his coverage? Keep up the good work. I know he had one play that
he made one really good play, knocking a ball away, but I thought for the most part he looked behind on those slants. I thought the slants were all available.
And I thought he was competitive.
I have no problem. That's the way he's going to play. He's going to need to be a guy who covers receivers within 10 yards of the line.
I just want to see him play. I want to find out if he can play or he can't play.
And now I worry that we won't see him for another 2 months.
Right, he's Rozai Dowling.
Silvio is in San Diego. I made a painful observation on Sunday's game against the Jets and would like to know what you guys think. I don't think Tom Brady completed a single pass to the left side of the field that wasn't a screen pass. I'd love to see the stats for Brady's pass attempts and completions to the left, middle, and right side of the field, both for under and over 15 yards. I think Tom is a great field general. He has great knowledge of the game and can read defenses like nobody else, but his physical abilities are definitely down on the downside. He is throwing way too many passes at players' feet, although it's possible he throws it low to avoid throwing interceptions. Just another observation, when he throws it to the left, his passes are always to the outside shoulder again, probably to try and avoid throwing an interception.
Well, your passes toward the outside should be toward the outside shoulder. That's kind of quarterback 101.
Your passes to the outside should be toward the outside.
Right.
I know.
But, I mean, you shouldn't throw one. You throw one out, a 15-yard out on the inside shoulder, and it's pick six.
I agree.
But Andy just rattled
his
off
touchdown.
A
touchdown.
Well, and there was a big overtime one to Deion Branch, by the way. It was like a 10-yard out for a first down to the left. Couple of shorter throws. I know he's eliminating the screens, but the second Gronkowski touchdown ended up going to the left. It was kind of crossing in front of the linebackers, I think. It was a short little flip. It wasn't much of a physical throw.
Maybe he went to the bathroom a few times and missed the left throws.
Although, you know, what did you think of the first Gronkowski touchdown? What did you think of the throw on that play?
The diving catch?
Yeah.
I thought it was a little overthrown.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah,
but I heard a lot of people say that was vintage Brady. It was a perfect throw.
No.
I
don't think that's what he... I don't think you want your tight end to have to make that kind of...
Yeah,
that was a special catch.
Gronkowski had the step, and he had to dive, and he shouldn't have had to.
But it wasn't a terrible throw either.
No,
those are tough throws to make.
Specifically, I had someone email me and say, that was vintage Brady. He's the only guy who can make that throw. And I'm thinking to myself, that's... I think that was an average throw. I think that was a great catch. If anything that was special about that play, it was the catch.
I agree. Terry in D.C., 2012 is off to a rocky start. Happy to have a winning record and be on top of the division, but the team has a lot of work to do. Generally, Belichick teams seem to get stronger as the season rolls on, and I'm hoping to see that again. However, I want to ask you guys what you think of the vibe in the locker room. The last couple of years, especially 2011, you have stressed what a great group of guys have been in the locker room. Conversely, the 2009 locker room had issues, and it showed on the field. They were 10-6. Contrary to what Fred thinks, they lost to the Texans in Week 17. No, they didn't. My question is whether you think the 2012 locker room is closer to 2009 or 2011. Do you think they will bond together or cracks will show after another loss or two? I'm starting to feel like the season is at a crossroads as we near the midway point. Not sure where we are heading.
11.
You think the locker room
I do not see nearly the a-holes that were on that 09 team.
The only thing I'll say is I didn't really see all the a-holes in 09 when it was happening.
Oh, I did. I thought Merriweather and I'll start right at safety. Merriweather and the other jerk safety were a-holes. Here's what you came to see with his schlong hanging out.
Oh, yeah, Brandon McGowan.
Yeah,
he was a jerk.
I think those were both literally jerks. And Sean Springs was on that team. He was a nice jerk, but he was a jerk.
I thought about him in hindsight differently than I did in the present. I thought that Thomas, I definitely didn't see at all. I didn't see Diego. Everything came to a forefront to me late in the year when they were all late and how they handled it. I thought Thomas handled it like a
right.
jerk.
But
I'm not gonna lie and say, oh yeah, I knew they were a-holes all along. I didn't. I mean, Merriweather and McGowan, point taken for Andy. I didn't like them from the start. But Sean Springs, I kind of thought was a pleasant enough guy and a joking guy. In retrospect, in hindsight, looking back, he was a finger pointer.
Right.
And what you kind of thought was, well, that's kind of funny. You know, like, you know, I forget exactly who we called out that time in the joking thing after you know.
Merriweather, I think.
Was it Merriweather?
I think so.
You know, I'll take the heat for that one, Brandon, or something like that. It was kind of a joke, and you didn't think he was being serious. But in hindsight, he was being serious, and he was being a clubhouse lawyer is what he was. But I didn't really know right. that was the problem at the time.
Yeah, but I can't think of one a-hole.
It was a bad group.
You know,
just not what Belichick was looking for in terms of personalities and chemistry. And he made moves that were, I think, unprecedented, the number of moves he made and when he made them to one unit, you know.
What are we talking about?
And these are starting caliber guys that he just said, you're out of here.
When?
Last year with, you know.
I thought we were talking about 09.
It was too.
I thought we were comparing 09's locker room to now.
I thought you were talking about the safeties.
Well, we were.
In 09.
09, a big part of the jerks were the safeties that year.
But he last year could have been the same way if he hadn't done what he did.
I guess.
Sanders didn't get released because he was a jerk.
No, but Merriweather
Merriweather
certainly
was
did,
part of it.
Lee
Bodden
certainly
could have been part of it.
You know?
So yeah, I think this year, if anything, it's not so much about good or bad. It's about a lot of young guys kind of probably feeling out their roles with the team. You know, Chandler Jones, as much as I was joking with him last week when he said, I'm a spokesman. You're going to be a spokesman for this team. You're kind of joking about it now. You talk at Fridays. You're the rookie.
Yeah,
you're going to be a legitimate spokesman for this team within 2 years.
And I hope he doesn't change because he's a great guy.
He won't. But, you know, Dante Hightower probably injured and a rookie who's a starter feeling out his role.
Right.
You know, Rob Ninkovich even sort of ascending to, you know, you're not jack of all trades anymore. You're a starter and a key playmaker on this team. I think there's a lot of guys that are probably in new roles.
Tammy in New York says, hey, man of PFW and Andy. I was
Suck
only kidding.
It,
I do love Andy since he responds to my tweets,
oh.
as does Paul and Eric, and it is greatly appreciated as a fan, although Paul hates the fans.
Well, I like
your
tweets.
Yeah, I was going to say, I respond to the tweets.
Do you show your tweets in your tweets?
Fred is the only person I don't follow on Twitter, reasons unknown.
Because he has nothing to offer on Twitter.
Neither do I.
Now on to
more
the Patriots-Jets game. Great game to – oh, by the way, Eric, I'm really – disappointed in you, Andy.
I'm Andy.
Yes.
Why'd you say Eric?
I'm disappointed.
Obviously, it's something about
I'm
Eric.
I'm disappointed in you, Andy, for not jumping on a tweet that Eric had this morning.
I probably didn't
see
it.
He had hashtag now playing and what he was listening to, and I really wanted you to do hashtag who cares.
I probably would have had I seen it.
Oh, I was just waiting for you to do that.
Really, I love how he's like unwilling, unable to do it.
Why didn't you do it?
I'm his boss.
I have to be serious.
No, listen. He can bring me to HR. He's really, you know.
He can bring me to HR, too.
No, you're his peer. It's okay.
It is?
Yeah.
Everything I do is okay?
Not everything.
I try to stay out of the Twitter realm.
Oh, I don't. I try to start fights on Twitter all the time.
I know you do, and I was waiting for it. And,
yeah, I didn't see it. What was it, by the way? Was it extra gay?
It was a woman singer. I don't know who it was, but it was like hashtag now playing, because I guess that's what people do. They do hashtag now playing what they're listening to, as if people care.
Like,
right. You know,
you wonder why I despise the whole medium.
Yeah.
Because I need to know what Eric was listening to this morning.
Yeah.
I don't need to know anything about Eric.
It's so like arrogant, too, like. It's like, because I'm listening to it, you should want to listen to it.
My followers need to know what I'm listening to.
But you should care.
Right.
Because I'm listening to it, you should care about it.
Like, maybe if, you know, Elvis was listening, and he's like, oh, wow, Elvis likes this guy. Maybe I'll give him a
chance. See, the other one, Gronkowski right there, Freddie, that they just showed the highlights of the second touchdown was also to the left.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I was talking music.
Our buddy.
Don't get Patriots.
All right, let's get more important. Eric's playlist.
Now playing.
I cut the grass yesterday. I had my iPod on, and I was listening to my various 70s and 80s songs.
Oh, good.
Should I have tweeted that out?
Yes.
No, never have.
You should have said cutting lawn and listening to blank.
I get in trouble when I tweet things, so I don't tweet anymore.
Yeah, he accidentally showed a picture of his schlong one day.
Did you really?
Got mad.
It was just the one time.
He can't even see his schlong. How would he take the picture?
He just so goes you know, on and on.
Why let zippers and buttons slow you down? With open fly jeans, it's always out and camera ready.
Andy, yeah, despite the fact that it's always on Andy's mind, believe me, you'd be able to see it if it was.
Whoa, wow. You're bragging now.
Right.
Jeez. I pull my pants on just like anyone else, one leg at a time. Then I pull my penis out.
It's turned into a measuring
contest.
That was
great.
Here.
That was great. Then I pull my penis out.
Forget about push-up contests. Let's just get right to it. Now on to the Jets game, says Tammy.
Is it always on your mind,
Tammy?
Oh, yeah.
Great game to watch as a Patriots fan, but I have to be honest with you. I never felt comfortable with the lead. I just knew it was only a matter of time before they relinquished the lead, which they did as predicted. This has become the story of the season, and for the life of me, I can't figure out why. While they've only played seven games, I believe it's becoming a trend, and I'm quite concerned. What do you guys think they can do to keep leads when they do get it? I'm baffled, and I can't seem to explain what happens once they get the lead. Do they take their foot off the gas? Is it a youth thing? I don't know. I watched the game in a bar full of Jets-Giants fans, and I was the only Patriots fan there. I had on my Brady jersey, was enjoying every moment until the Jets started to come back. I had the last laugh in the end, though, and it always pleases me to rub it in the faces of all these stupid Jets fans. Love you guys, and I would love to buy you guys lunch whenever the most interesting Patriots fan ever stops providing lunch for you guys.
Thursdays are open.
Available.
Save that email, Kev.
I don't think it's a taking the foot off the gas problem, by the way. I think the offense has been sporadic virtually all season. Andy, did you say it's... 6 out of 7 games they didn't score in their first drive, correct?
Indeed.
So they're not starting games, you know, crisply for the most part either. They have allowed a lot of scores on the first drive, however. So I don't think it's, you know, well, we have a lead now, we can take our foot off the gas. There has been periods of inconsistency within games, and there happen to be more glaring when you don't finish off a game when you have the lead, and that's been a problem.
Jeremy is from the oil patch in Texas. He says, everyone seems down on the defense, but I'm most upset with the offense's execution. The offense during regulation scored 17 points, including the game-tying field goal. This is a sad performance by the offense. If you tell people the offense will only score 17 in regulation, I doubt most Pats fans would expect to win the game. It's great we had the return and the Jets spotted us 2 points, but by only scoring on 3 drives, the offense left way too many opportunities for the Jets to score. I mean,
you're right. There were a lot of different. There was a possession, I want to say, after they were up 10 that the Patriots stopped the Jets. And the Patriots then didn't move the ball, and the Jets ended up going 92 yards to get within 3 at the end of the game. So he's right. Andy and I argued this last week on the PFW TV show. And I understand that you can make a passionate blaming of the defense because the defense just flat out hasn't been good. But to me, your expectations have to come into it at least a little bit. And I've been very defensive of the offense over the years. I put it all in the defense all the time. 17-14 Super Bowl, Fred. I told you, I thought that was on the defense. But this year, I think they have had fourth quarters with the lead when the defense has gone out there and forced a punt, and it still hasn't been enough because the offense can't close the door, and the defense has to do it again. They're not good enough to do it again. The offense is, and the offense too many times to me has failed.
Yep. Cody in Nova Scotia, why is it that I feel it's been a long time since the Patriots have given off that feeling of I'm going to kick your ass and there's nothing you can do about it? Now I feel like we're a bunch of pansies that can't do anything. Brady and company need to get mean. They need to change the perception that everyone sees us in. We need to make people fear us, and right now I don't think they do. It's Cody. Yeah, I mean, when a team calls another team finesse, that's an insult. I know I've argued with Andy about that, but that is an insult. Teams in the NFL don't like to think of themselves as finesse teams, whether it's true or not.
I agree with you that they don't like to think of themselves, but I think that there have been Super Bowl champions that have been finesse. So,
plus, it's a finesse league, and it's getting finessier by the week.
Green Bay was a finesse team 2 years ago. They won the Super Bowl.
Dan the Byman says, I want Rex Ryan to be our next defensive coordinator. Rex, 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 no more pussyfooting defense. That's it. Good job.
I wouldn't mind it.
We brought that up on the pregame social. Fred, if something were to happen and Rex Ryan is out, would you be willing to take him on as a defensive coordinator, game plan guy?
I might, but I don't think Bill would because he just doesn't want that other ego in the room.
Yeah, I think it would not happen either. But, you know, Andy brought up the point that, you know, his brother was here as part of the staff. And had success, by the way. He was a good part of the staff when they won titles. I suppose it wasn't as silly as when we first brought it up, when you think of it that way. But I'm with you. I don't see Bill adding that kind of a distraction.
Well, it's not going to be a distraction.
He's a huge ego.
So?
I'm with Fred.
Too many big egos.
Yeah.
This is only one ego town.
Right.
That one ego will run the defense into the ground. Thank you very much.
Wow.
Well, I mean.
So negative.
Bill respects him, right? We all took the Welker benching as a sign of respect on some level, whether it's the position of coach or whether it's the man. He always says we have a good relationship. We talk, whatever. You know, Robert Kraft said he respected him. You know, and I think everyone agrees he's a good defensive coach, right? And your defense sucks. So if he came available to me, if you don't consider it, then you're not doing what's in the best interests of your football team, Fred, because he, quote, has an ego.
Do you think he would do it?
Probably not, but that doesn't mean it's right.
Why do you think he won't?
Because I don't think he lets anybody, it's my show, and I don't bring in big names.
So ego.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Oh, wait, which ego are you talking about?
Both. It's two big egos. I don't think Bill brings a big ego in because he's got a big ego.
Right, but was Rex Ryan a bad guy as an assistant coach?
I know, but if you're not going to...
I have no idea.
Did his ego get in the way Brian Billick?
I have no idea.
If you're not going to hand over the keys to the defense to a guy like Rex Ryan, why bother bringing in a guy like Rex Ryan?
To improve your defense.
But are you
going to... They are both game plan coaches. They're both game plan coaches who've used 4-3 and 3-4.
Are you going to let him run the defense? It's going to be his defense.
As much as I let anybody run the defense, yes.
Andy's point is...
But that's relative depending on
who the head coach is. But how many coaches just allow... You do whatever the hell you damn please. I'll see you tomorrow.
Let's see, Bill Cowher, Mike Tomlin, you know, their defensive coordinator ran the defense.
I don't think they do that, but B, that's a different story. The defensive coordinator was there longer than any of them.
Well, I mean, that's...
And that's a little... Give me more.
Jim Johnson and the Eagles, when he was alive, he ran the Eagles
defense.
So
Andy Reid had no say in it.
No, I think he had a say.
Well, then I think that's what it would be.
It was Jim Johnson's defense. Just like this is Bill Belichick's defense.
Well, it's Bill Belichick's everything. It's his offense, his defense, his special
what
teams,
makes Belichick
his media
unique.
Practice.
If you're going to bring in it doesn't have to be any guy like Rex Ryan, you might as well give it to him. Because there's no sense in doing it otherwise.
Why can't a melding be the best answer? Two great defensive minds coming together.
Yeah, I just don't think it works most of the time. You know.
Well,
what?
I'd like to see it not work, because you know what's not working? This.
Yeah.
It really hasn't worked all that great when you've run your scheme with your hand-picked, you know, beholden to you young
one
coaches.
One of those two guys have to be willing to relinquish some of the power that they have or some of the say that they have.
Rex Ryan is the one relinquishing because he got fired as a head coach. So he's going somewhere else. And if Bill says, Rex, I'd love to have you come on board. And Rex says, I'd love to win a Super Bowl. I respect you. Let's do this. Rex comes in knowing, I don't run the show anymore. I ran the show in New York and I ran myself out of
town.
That's
a big if he's willing to do that.
But you're saying you wouldn't do it on the Bill end. I'm saying that's a poor decision.
Well, I'd have to know for a fact that he's willing to play by my rules.
But what do you envision him doing?
Yeah, I don't understand your whole rules thing. I don't.
Bill
get
wants you to do this, but do this.
But the other part of it with Rex Ryan, Andy, is that he's a different guy than he was when he was an assistant. Now he's been a head coach, and he's been a very high-profile, outspoken head coach. And
right.
I don't think he can just turn that off. You know, just assume that now he's back to an assistant, he's anonymous again.
Yeah,
but
I think
the first time
think...
when he does his conference call and he says something like he says with the Jets.
I don't think he would. I don't think he's as dumb as you people think he is.
Well, I don't think he's dumb.
I think he likes doing this and it's all part of his shtick.
So he's just going to change who he is?
I don't think he's dumb at all.
Yeah.
The Tiger's going to change his stripes?
I don't think it's stripes because I still think in the background he'd be him. You know, in meetings with his players, on the field with Bill, I think you'd hear him saying the same stuff he says now. The difference is, A, he wouldn't be mic'd up, and B, he wouldn't do it every day in a press conference.
How do it know?
Like, I think he'd be saying that. and Will Fork would be, I hear you, bro, and like, he's going at it with whoever.
Tucky, no Tucky?
Yeah, Will Fork, and he could have the great Tucky, no Tucky question. Will Fork about how
like
he redistributed his weight, and you know, Rex can, he'd be the same guy. He just wouldn't be at a podium in New York City 6 days a week. But if Bill Belichick wouldn't consider it, then I think it's a bad decision for Bill Belichick.
Well, I mean, I think you can make an argument that the way he's filled out his staff since he lost all his veterans
hasn't worked.
It's been bad decisions. I'm saying his refusal to hire anybody that's established to do anything, to me, was not in the best interest of the team.
Correct.
You know, I mean, you can't make an argument to me that I'm going to have Matt Patricia work his way up from coaching assistant to defensive coordinator, but I'm not going to let Dom Capers do anything 4 years ago or whenever it was he was here, a guy with a proven track record of coaching in the NFL. Because why? It breaks, as Fred says, my rules. He has to know the rules. It's my way or the highway. You know, that to me, that's not in the best interest of the team. If that's what's more important to you, then you have to have everything done exactly this way. You get stuck with the guys from the
in a rut.
Yeah, you get the guys that don't have the same amount of experience that you could have.
Yep, 2 Super Bowls in 5 years since the veterans left. That's a rut. Roman is writing in.
No Super Bowl title since you lost Christ.
That's true.
Cornell.
They've been there twice though,
and
which is pretty good.
How many times they've been there because their defense was even competitive?
And according to the people who know these things,
well, I'm not just. They lost Charlie Weiss too.
Charlie Weiss.
No, but we're specifically talking about Rex Ryan and a defense that right now is horrific. Correct.
I mean, absolutely. A lot of people have pointed to coaching, and I think it's fair to say in a Bill Belichick team, you can't point at the position coach and say it's his fault. You know,
no.
You got to look at Bill.
Right. But everybody needs some help in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
You can't just coach
by
yourself. And I think
Bill
that's what he
stubborn.
Does.
I don't disagree that it could be stubbornness, but I just don't think it would ever happen. That's what I'm saying.
Well, that's how I feel. Yeah. And I kind of agree with Andy that I think it would be a decision that's worthy of a second guess, because I think it hasn't worked. And I know that you can point to your Super Bowl appearances, but I think that you could also say they had their pants coached off in both Super Bowls.
It's true.
I mean, that's what, a very predominant line of thinking is Tom Coughlin now coached the pants off him in Super Bowl 42.
Just keeps taking his pants off.
I just want to have a few cocktails, maybe take my pants off.
Roman writes in, great show. Love to hear your podcast in Berlin, Germany. Short question on the last play of the game. Ich bin ein Berliner. Short question on the last play of the game versus the
Ed
Jets.
Ed Berliner?
When the play happened, I just waited to see flags flying around because I thought it was a good example for the Brady rule. Wasn't it? Defender on the ground, still trying to tackle the quarterback in the knee area. Isn't this a reason to throw a flag? What do you think about it? Did I misinterpret that rule?
So it's the Brady rule.
It only gets called when
Brady is involved. No, I mean, I'm not a good judge of these because I think I hate roughing the passers almost every time. I don't know what Jermaine Cunningham's supposed to do on that play.
I have no problem.
He's got to try to get to the quarterback. If it's a penalty, it's a penalty. I suppose.
Yeah, but he didn't
launch himself
at his knees. You know, he grabbed.
No, I know, but you're not supposed. The guy's right. You're not supposed to hit the quarterback below the waist. But I don't know why. You know, sometimes they call it, sometimes they don't. But to me, there's not supposed to be a penalty on that play. That would have been a really bad call in my book.
No emailer has brought it up, but I did want to just touch on it. There was some controversy as to whether Bill Belichick may have attempted to challenge the Aaron Hernandez fumble.
Yeah.
I don't believe he did. I didn't see any red flag in person. I think this stems from, and I went back and watched it today, Jim Nance had a very, very bad game. And in that little
You're so negative.
He said, and the flag is already out, Patriots want to challenge this. And then they went to a commercial break, and he came back and said, you know, despite the fact Patriots wanted to challenge us, this is being reviewed because it's a turnover and all turnovers are reviewed. Bill A. never throws the challenge flag, that quickly because it's in his sock. It takes a minute. And they always have him on camera because they know where he keeps it and they like the shot of him pulling it out of his sock. I didn't see any footage of him throwing it. I don't think he ever threw it. It would have been a penalty had he thrown it.
Right.
But I don't think he ever did it because it takes him time to ask Ernie, should I challenge this, Ernie?
Well, apparently the Jets actually went over every play toward the end with a fine tooth comb, because they also complained or looked at the clock, the home clock operator.
No question.
They thought there was a problem around the 2-minute warning.
Yeah. They got a beef on this one.
They looked at it and they didn't find anything wrong, but they, you know.
Then they burnt the clock.
You know why they didn't find out? You know why they didn't.
Goodell did.
Right. The Goodell burnt the clock.
Send it to Jay Glazer, and Jay Glazer burned it.
You know why they didn't find anything, Andy? Because the replacements aren't working anymore.
True.
But there was something like 2:06 left on the kickoff. McCourty ran it back 21 yards, fumbled, and it was recovered in the same amount of time that it took Tom Brady to get called for intentional grounding in Seattle.
On a hectic play.
On a three-yard play. I think they got a beef on this one.
Everythingbutpatriots.com.
Well, I mean, ultimately, I think it could have been an important play, but it didn't, you know. It was a play. It was a play in the game. It's not something to write upon further review about if I'm working for Jets.com.
Uh-oh.
Which I wonder, are we writing that this week? Are we writing about the pass interference on Kyle Wilson? Is that our key to the game this week?
Oh, boy. Glenn in Bozeman, Montana.
We probably don't have one
hey,
this week.
Hey, Glenn.
Because he's probably packing. Right?
He calls us meat gazers. He says,
is that where what's his name's from? Bozeman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dane Fletcher?
Does this guy email a lot? Should I know this?
yeah, he's emailed before. I, too, feel a bit up and down coming off this win offensively. I think we are what we are at this point in the season. When everyone is healthy, things may be better. Gone are the days of expecting to score 30 points each week, but 23-29 should win most games, right? My biggest issue is Lloyd dropping a ball that hits him in the face or the chest or hands every game, or three like this week. We again have to live with the fact that the secondary sucks and deal with it. As long as we get hot down the stretch when it counts, who knows? I love the naysayers already coming out in the media. Belichick can now say with conviction that the odds are against them and no one thinks they can do it. I'm positive we will go forth and conquer or go 10-6 and lose in the first round on the road. Either way, we are always competitive, and I'm thankful to be a fan of a team that truly can beat any team on any day. Not a lot of NFL fandom can say that. And lastly, I find it retarded that Brady is getting hacked for saying we are spoiled and it's hard to win. Just about everyone has taken what he said out of context. I thought it was a true evaluation of how we all feel. What are your thoughts? Is he getting killed about that?
I don't know. Are people saying that the Patriots are done? Because I didn't hear that either. And if so, they should be, admitted to insane asylums.
Yeah, I know he did say that, and I forget exactly what the context was. It didn't really raise my eyebrows when he said it, but, you know, I'm not.
I think that's a very common refrain around here.
I just think that, you know.
I think we're all guilty of
it. Yeah, we're all a little spoiled.
Being a little spoiled with all the success.
Yeah, the bar that we set is a very high one. You know, if we were in Kansas City right now, we'd be having parties, you know?
Not if Pioli was running the show, we wouldn't.
Well, you know what I mean.
There's no fun on his watch.
Not at 1-5.
We'd also be zipping it down here.
You know, the Falcons could lose every game for the rest of the season. It was a successful season for them.
No,
they started it.
No, it wasn't.
That's all right. I'm being exaggerating a little bit.
But I think the league, I think that the part of that that people miss is.
Personal. Why do you have to do that?
The whole thing with the league is everybody's the same.
iPad Mini just got announced, Fred.
What?
iPad Mini just got announced.
Oh, all right. Oh, yeah, you're all excited about that?
I want to get one for my wife.
What's the price point?
I don't know. They haven't gotten to that point
yet. The price point?
I'm interested in that because if it's like $400, I'm not getting it. I'll get one of those others. But if it's in that $200 range.
If it's $199, it's a good value.
Well, no, I'll go high. If it's $249 compared to the $199, I'll get the Apple because it's easier. I get everything else. I'll just go with it. But if they go $399, $299, you gotta get cheaper now.
All right. John Rook just walked into the studio.
All dressed in black, black.
Got nothing to talk about today. I don't know where you can come up with a nitpick on that performance.
Nothing to talk about today. Although, I don't look so bad with my prediction, do I?
Well, except
I don't know which one you predicted. You pulled an Andy Hart and predicted everything.
Andy keeps stealing all my words today.
That is
don't work my side of the street.
Doesn't he do that every day?
Yeah.
He said they were going to lose, and then when we walked out, you kind of said, no, they're going to win. So I don't know which
I just didn't want to be boring.
No,
I actually
came up. It's on the record. I came up in my – I do a little projection piece every week for GoLocalProv.com, and my projection this week was Pat's 25, Jets 24.
Wow.
Oh.
So there you go.
That was it.
That's pretty
in overtime?
No.
It'd be awfully tough to win by that score in overtime.
Yeah. That's pretty on the mark there.
Just call it, you know, blind squirrel finding a nut every now and then.
Sure. Now, John, I think I have a new job for you.
What's that? Another one?
Now,
Fred, I don't need
it
anymore.
Listen, you have a booming voice. You know how to project.
Okay.
You do a great job as the Patriots PA.
You know, the butts come.
But I think I found a job that would be of much greater value to the team.
Yeah.
You are to stand on the sideline.
Yeah.
And when the ball's in the air and the Patriots on defense, you're to yell out, ball!
Pass. Okay.
So that the cornerbacks can turn around. And you're the only guy with the voice that could do that successfully. So what do you think?
I don't think they'll turn around, though, because don't the coaches teach them to basically watch the hands?
No, we're going to do a whole new thing now.
This is a new technique.
It's called the voice.
It's called covering people.
Right.
And okay.
Not sure if that would change many of these
completions. I don't know that would change anything.
They can all be looking while the guy catches the ball instead of chasing him.
So look for John Rook on the sideline next game.
Does it come with benefits?
Yeah. He can still do the first down, but you know the main thing would be to
I could be down on the field with a remote mic, right?
Yeah.
Sure. Well, I don't know if the NFL will allow that.
Like a training camp. Don't you do that sometimes?
Sometimes. Just I haven't.
You address the crowd
years,
for the season ticket holder thing.
Stadium
right.
One.
Right.
Yeah. All right, John. What do you got going on?
It's Nitpick Tuesday.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we got going on.
Okay.
That's enough to fill 2 hours.
And Johnny Weissmuller will be your guest, or what's it? Russell Baxter. I don't
That's
know
on
why.
Thursday. Johnny Weissmuller.
Yeah.
You mean the guy who played Tarzan in the movies back in the 1920s?
I don't know why.
Fred, where's your head?
I don't know why that name popped in and got related to Russell Baxter, but that's how my brain works. It's probably something that connected the two for me. All right.
He almost had a heart attack earlier. He was in mid-sentence, and he grabbed his heart.
And don't forget, 4 o'clock, Fantasy Football Champs, answering all your fantasy questions, getting you, championships around the corner, right, for Fantasy League?
No.
Oh, it isn't? I don't know. I don't know how that works.
It's like halfway through the season.
Yeah.
Geeks across the nation are shaking their heads.
It's only like 2 weeks ahead of the regular
season. Well, but now's your championship drive. This is where you earn the points to win a championship?
No.
No?
Stop talking.
I have no idea. All right. But they're going to be here at 4 o'clock, and they're really good. As for us, we'll see you tomorrow. Gonna get a big dish of beef chow mein. Kitchen door.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.